Hello, everyone. This is Eddie Aparicio, and I'm joined by my co-host, Anthony Tuan Corral, and this is Buzzer Beaters. This is our first live draft show, so welcome. We are going to cover all 30 picks today, as well as all 30 picks tomorrow. Right around the 10th pick, we're going to have a guest join. I'll go ahead and introduce them. But we're going to go ahead and give our reactions to every pick that is made by every team. As you know, Tuan and I, over the last 3 weeks, including this week, four weeks if you include this week, we had a draft preview shows, right? We were covering all of the teams and what we thought their roster needs were, what their trade targets should be, who they should pick when they fall to them. We also kind of had a fun segment where we talked about, you know, who were their worst picks of their draft in their history of the franchise. Who are their best picks? So tune in if you haven't listened to those, tune in on that on the previous shows to see all of that content. But today we're just going to go over who we think all of these teams should be picking based on our analysis from the previous weeks. Tuan, man, welcome, man.
Excited for our live show. For those of you that don't know, fundamentally the difference between going live and not is that, you know, you can feed us comments and we can see them live and, you know, we can possibly respond to them, you know. So we ask for a little bit of patience. There's a lot of moving parts that we're going to try to do today, but we're going to try to stay on top of it. And then one thing that just so that everyone out there knows, you know, we owe you a review of the Celtics, the Mavericks, and the Nets on my side. And then, Eddie, who did you have that we didn't get to?
Yeah, I have the Wizards, who are the second pick, so maybe I can cover that before the draft starts, right? And then I had Pelicans, and then I had the Jazz. Those are my last three.
Okay.
So maybe we can intertwine that before, you know, come up. So Dallas and Boston are going to be towards the very end because, you know, they were in the finals. And then, you know, the Nets, they don't even have a freaking pick in this draft.
They don't have a pick.
Go ahead and talk about probably what they just did, right? You know, with some of these trades. And by the way, before the show started, you know, there have been a lot of transactions that have taken place. We know that the Knicks have been very active, right?
Yes.
The Knicks, you know, they did this huge trade for Mikal Bridges. You know, the Nova Knicks are definitely very happy with another addition to the Villanova family on the Knicks side. Because now Mikal Bridges is now a Knick with, you know, they traded a bunch of picks. And unheard of, like six draft picks were sent along with the player. So essentially it was a 2025, 2027, 2029, 2031, unprotected first round draft picks, as well as the protected 2025 first round pick as well from the Bucks. And then they also had a unprotected 2018 first round draft pick, as well as the 2025 second round pick. So they did a lot just to get this player. I mean, they thought very highly. The Nova Knicks definitely had an influence on this
sure, man. I agree. And what I found interesting is when they did the trade, I figured, okay, OG Anunoby's gone. Like they're gonna sign him to a contract, so they're keeping everybody.
All right, right.
Yeah.
Check out the private chat, man.
Okay. All right. Here we go. And we've got the draft starting now. So. Cool. Let's start. So on the clock here is the Atlanta Hawks. So let's start some of our editing here. So here we're waiting. So, I mean, we can still talk because I think they got some time before they make a pick. So as I was saying, you know, they OG Anunoby's on the verge of signing a contract if he hasn't signed already. So the Knicks are looking good. You know, I had the Knicks as my review. You know, some of the things that they needed was another scorer, a little bit more perimeter. You know, Mikal Bridges definitely fits that. I believe I had him as a potential trade target or an acquisition, which they went ahead and did. So that was, you know, it's better to be lucky than good, I suppose. But
you called it, man. You called it. Mikal Bridges was one of the draft targets, and it happened, man. So good call on that, man. We were gonna go ahead and play a clip of that to show the proof. But we'd rather have you guys go back to last week's episode, right around the 39 minute to 40 minute mark. You will see that prediction. So, anyway,
Looks like Atlanta's on the clock now.
All right, so we have
good to go. So they got 5 minutes here to make their pick.
All right, so
what are you thinking here, Eddie?
So So here's what so the Atlanta picks, just to reiterate what we thought that they should do, right? One of the things I thought their roster needs was to have more veteran depth, right? And they also have, you know, a really good young big, right, in Okongwu. And I think that Capella's probably going to be on the move. This is my prediction. I think that Clint Capella, their center, is going to be on the move. So that screams to me the center, Alexander Sarr, is the one from France who I think they're going to pick. You know, fortunately, they're comparing him to Victor Wembanyama, but not necessarily exactly like Victor Wembanyama. So, you know, the Atlanta Hawks had a very low percentage of getting the number one pick, but they actually got the number one pick, and it's a year too late because they could have had Victor Wembanyama if this happened last year. Right? So, but, you know, it's actually going to be down to Alexander Sarr, Zachary Richardson, the 6'9" power forward from France. These are the two guys that are, I mean, France, they're pumping out some players, man. Victor Wembanyama, and now more than likely the top two picks in this year's draft, they're coming from France. And there's other picks later in the draft that are coming from France too. So, you know, I think there's also going to be some other trades. I think that, some like rotational pieces, the one that I called out were possibly like Alec Burks, DeMar DeRozan, DeAnthony Melton. And one of the other guys I called out was the rotational piece was Malik Monk, but he already got re-signed by the Sacramento Kings. So it looks like they still got some time to make a pick. Let's see how much time we got. We're good here. So anyway, but Malik Monk, he re-signed for 4 years for $77.97 million. I mean, the sixth man kind of a player. I mean, that's kind of a good paying price, man, for a sixth man. But hey, Malik Monk, he's definitely a microwave oven type of player that comes off the bench and scores. So I think that, Malik Monk isn't going to be a player that, you know, is going to be targeted for a trade anymore for the Atlanta Hawks to fill in their rotational pieces. So,
professional sports is a copycat league, right? And I think, you know, the Celtics winning the championship has kind of reinforced how important it is to be six or seven deep. You know, right. And I think a lot of these teams are starting to find that maybe you need to pay some of the guys lower on the end of the bench, you know, to kind of keep that solid core and have somebody that you can rotate in and out. And I think Malik Monk is one of those that may have benefited from that kind of perspective. And you know what? I can't disagree. I've always been, you and I have had conversations. I've always been in favor of, you know, teams building from within the draft and then adding complementary players to kind of hit that next
absolutely
level, you know. And
then if the Celtics proved it, man. The Celtics proved it. You need depth, man. Yep. So, and that's where the Mavericks, I think, lacked a little bit of depth. And by the way, before we even jump to that, we got a question. Have a comment from Back to the Stone Age. It says, yo, Cisco kids, love the show and can't wait for your predictions. Who's number one overall pick? So a lot of people are saying Zachary Richardson is going to be the number one pick. I'm saying it's going to be Alexander Sarr. I'm probably going to be wrong because of, you know, these guys got a lot of inside information, but I think Clint Capella is going to be on the move, man. So I think Alexander Sarr is the guy that's going to be the pick. Thanks for the comment.
Thanks.
So it looks like on ESPN, they're actually also predicting Zachary Richardson is going to be the first pick. It's going to be Alexander Sarr, man.
I'm actually leaning towards Zachary myself as well. So we'll
see.
Are
you really?
Yeah, I think so.
So you're saying that they missed John Collins is what you're saying, man, right? Because John Collins is essentially what that guy is. So.
Am I coming in too loud? I don't want to be yelling at everyone. I'm playing with my mic over here. I want to make sure.
No. Am I coming in too loud? Because
No. You're
normally
fine.
Kind of loud in general, man. So
yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So, but you know, since we have some time here, maybe. And by the way, when the pick comes in, let me know, man. All right. So
I will let you know. The pick is in, Eddie.
The pick is in. Okay.
So. Yeah. So we just gotta wait for Adam Silver there to stroll his way up to the mic and tell us who they're going to take and see if it's going to be Alex or Zachary here.
I'm saying it's going to be, we'll see. I'm saying it's going to be Alex, but we shall see, man. The tension's building up here, man.
It is.
It's building up here. And, you know, us Warrior fans, you know, me and you, probably only ones that are viewing this, we have no picks. So we're going to
yet. I saw somewhere that the Celtics might maybe looking to give away their 30th pick. So we'll see if a team that isn't in the draft, like Brooklyn, like or not in today's draft, I should be specific. The Warriors aren't in today. Maybe they can sneak in there, or Brooklyn can get in and get a pick at all, because Brooklyn doesn't have any picks today or tomorrow. So so we'll see if they can – yeah, so we'll see what Boston's thinking there. My guess is, you know, Boston's worried about their salary and things of that nature, so they're probably trying to get out of the first round so they don't have to commit any money.
But, man, Boston's they're just deep, man. I mean
– they are deep.
They just laid out the freaking framework for everybody else of what you need, and that's what everybody's going to be going is going after a bunch of depth, man. You definitely need – two-way players to be successful in this league. Boston Celtics have a plethora of two-way players, namely four guys that start right now that are two-way players and very good.
Here we go, Eddie.
All right, man. So let's see who's going to predict it right, man.
Yeah.
You're saying Restart Shea. I'm saying Sar.
Yep. Zachary Ricochet. They went with Zach.
They did, huh?
They did.
Zachary. These guys were right, man. I'm 0-for-1 right now, man. So it's all right, man. These are all predictions, but these guys, you know, they know in advance. They hear all the stories, you know, people talking. So
yeah, so they went for the more the power forward look than the super big man.
Yep. All right. So now we have. Okay. So it's an interesting pick to me. That tells me that. You know, like I said, they have, you know, Clint Capella. They have this guy, Onyeka Okongwu. They've been playing both those guys sometimes a lot, but not necessarily a lot, but they enough, right? But I think they need, you know, someone who could actually shoot and dribble the ball a little bit better than Okongwu could do it at the power forward. You know, that's what, you know, like I said, they had that before in the guy who went to Utah, John. I forgot his last name right now, so it's totally escaping me. Senior moment. But anyway, so that, it looks like they need some more athleticism, like they lost to John Collins as the guy.
Yeah, and I think the shooting part is going a long way as well. You know, he's more of a shooter than Sarr is.
This guy is. Yeah, Zachary.
Yeah. So I think they're following more of the trend of what the NBA is today. You know, Wembanyama's a shooter. You know, which is why he was such an easy choice. Right, because he's multifaceted. Sar's a little limited on his shooting, so I think they ended up going with that. Give up some height to get some shooting.
No, I hear you, man. I hear you. So so anyway, so like we were trying to do, like the Wizards, right? They're next on the clock. So I didn't get a chance to do the draft preview of the Wizards before, but I'm going to go ahead and do it right now. Okay. So this team was 15-67. They were the 14th seed. They have three picks in this draft. They have two first-round picks, the second pick, the 26th pick, and then one second-round pick and the 52nd pick. You know, they need a lot of help, man. They're just rebuilding. Kyle Kuzma and Danny Avdia seem to be good players that are likely going to stay, but there's a lot of trade talk about Kyle Kuzma, right? He's a valuable asset, and he's the most valuable asset they have on the team. Corey Kispert looks like a rotational piece. Jordan Poole is an expensive six-man. But, you know, we all know his mentals are still not 100% with what happened with him getting punched by Draymond Green, right? So, but, you know, I think Marvin Bagley, I think he found a home here, man. You know, the guy that's going to be linked to Luka Doncic for the Sacramento Kings forever, you know, that probably got in his mentals too. But now I think he found a home in the Wizards. So, but I think they need is more shooting, okay? Everybody needs more shooting. And I think they need a better guard because right now they need better guard play. They have Tyus Jones. They have Bilal Kalalabi. Those guys are not initially shooters. Tyus Jones is actually a good, like, kind of a backup point guard. But anyways, I think that's what they need, as well as veteran rotational depth. And, like, most of these teams are going to be looking for after what happened with the Boston Celtics, right? So trade targets. So the guys that I think filled this void would be a free agent, Buddy Hield, also Justin Holiday, also Klay Thompson. We have also James Harden, all right? And I think that they should trade – for someone like, you know, we know that the Atlanta Hawks, you know, the guys who are on, you know, they just made their pick right now. I think, you know, they're going to probably part ways with either Trae Young or DeJounte Murray. So I think that DeJounte Murray is the guy that's more valuable for the Hawks. So more than likely, I think Trae Young is going to be the guy that's going to be dealt. So I think that guy meets the need for the Atlanta, for the Wizards. And then another guy would be Tyler Hero, because this guy can shoot, right? So we already know for what happened as far as who can fall to them in the draft. So we already know it was either going to be Alex Sarr or Zachary Restart Shea, right? The other, so that's already happened. We know Zachary Oust-Arshay has been picked. It's likely that Alex Starr is going to be picked by the Wizards. I think he's the next best available player. I don't know if they necessarily need that right now, but they need a lot of help. But, you know, Alex Starr would be a good fit. He's like Victor Wembanyama light. So, yeah. So anyway, we'll go ahead and at the 26th pick, I guess to meet their shooting requirements, I have Tyler Kolek that they could go ahead and target for Marquette. He's compared to TJ McConnell, Peyton Pritchard, kind of a gamer type, doesn't necessarily the most athletic guy in the world. So his defense might suffer a little bit at the next level. And then at the 52nd pick, we have, Jay Mitchell, 6'4", 195-pound, point guard, shooting guard from UC Santa Barbara, compares to Lister Quiñones, a guy that's near and dear to our health on the Warriors, right? Kind of a bigger guy, but he's actually very athletic, very smooth on the floor. This guy can shoot very well. It's about 80% free throw shooter. Also very careful with the ball. Okay. So that's the guy that I think they're going to probably target at the 52nd pick. So some of the fun stuff. I know we have some time here. I don't think the pick has been made by the Wizards yet. So I'm going to the Wizards, draft preview right now, kind of doing it very quickly.
Yeah. Well, you know, one thing about the Wizards, you know, they find themselves in a difficult spot, right? Because when you're such a poor team, you know, seasoned veterans, I know you mentioned Klay Thompson and a couple of other guys. You know, players that have won in this league aren't going to want to go to a team that isn't, you know, is not even playoff ready, right?
Right.
So that's always a challenge. Or the team's got to overpay to get someone like that. So, you know, for Washington, I think, you know, these draft picks are really important. And, you know, they really need to hit on some of these, you know.
For sure.
They can't afford not to hit because it's a double whammy if they don't get somebody that's going to be a starter for their team at least for the next 5 to 8 seasons.
Right. So here we go. So the fun stuff, and I'm going to try and get this before the pick is made. So the top two draft picks in their history, man, I looked at all of their players that they've had. They've had a who's who in the Hall of Fame, man. All right. So some of the notable ones would be in 1960, Walt Bellamy, Hall of Famer, Indiana, first overall.
Yes.
Right. Then in 1963, they had Rod Thorne, another Hall of Famer, West Virginia, second overall. Then they had Jerry Sloan, who's a Hall of Famer.
All right, Eddie, we got to pick it.
Here we go. All right. So
here we go.
We'll just do it later.
Yep, Alex Starr. So right. We are.
I'm having some lighting issues here, man. All right. So Alex Starr?
Yep, Alex Starr.
Just, I mean, it makes sense, man, right? So they're in a total rebuild right now. And, you know, they're gonna just try and get as much talent as they can possible on this team. And it starts with an Alex Starr. Now they can pair that up with a Kyle Kuzma, you know, Denny Avdija. You know, they have Jordan Poole. I don't know if he's going to stay on there, but, you know, he's a guy that you know, can score, right? And that's probably all he can really do. But, you know, they're trying to rebuild, and that's okay. You know, this is
One good thing about Alex Starr, one thing I like about this is, you know, we could argue he's more of a defensive player than an offensive one. And you and I have had many conversations on our shows about, you know, how much we feel it's easier to train a defensive player to play offense than vice versa.
Right.
So, you know, he's a good on-the-ball defender. You know, he's got shot-blocking skills. So I think this is a good pick because, you know, Kuzma and Poole are like revolving doors when it comes to defense. You know, they don't really do it. So I think this is a move in the right direction. I think Starr's a better fit on Washington than he would be on Atlanta, given the needs that Washington has.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. So now, you know, we'll see if there's going to be any trades that are going to happen here moving forward. Like I said, this team needs a lot of help. I mean, they were the second worst in the conference, and, you know, they fired – you know, their coach after 1 year, right? So, you know, we'll see what happens with these guys, man. So, anyway, for those of you guys who are watching, welcome. Definitely we invite your commentary, any questions that you might have. Please feel free to go ahead and put some comments up there. We're just filling in some time with, you know, I talked about the draft preview of the Wizards right before their draft. I'll go ahead and continue talking a little bit more about that. So, we were talking about their best draft picks in their history. So I got to the Hall of Famer, Jerry Sloan. He was the 1965 University of Evansville, the 6th overall pick. Then in 1995, Rasheed Wallace out of North Carolina, the 4th overall pick. And then in 1999, Richard Rip Hamilton out of UConn for the 7th overall pick. Pretty good players, right? But in my opinion, the top two draft picks in their history is Hall of Famer in 1968, Wes Unseld.
Wes Unseld, second
overall pick, right? And then in 1967, we have Hall of Famer Earl Monroe out of Winston-Salem State with the second overall pick.
Right.
Moving to their top busts in their history, I have three honorable mentions. I'll have in 2013, I have Otto Porter out of Georgetown. We know we like Otto Porter because he helped bring us win the championship for the Warriors, right? But he was a third overall pick. You know, he's
very journeyman.
Yeah, but he was very, you know, he's a journeyman. He's a serviceable guy, but he's one of the Shaq's all-time Hall of Fame guys on Shaq and the Fool. You know, I don't know if you ever saw that clip.
Yeah, I know.
Got lost here to headlights, and this guy was running circles around him, scored on him, and he just didn't even see it. Anyway, so Otto Porter. And then in 1981, Frank Johnson, who's that, right, out of Wake Forest. Before I even do that, Otto Porter, the guy that could have had it instead of Otto Porter would have been C.J. McCollum, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Dennis Schroeder, Rudy Gobert. All right, that's why I'm saying Otto Porter was a bust. Then you have in 1981, Frank Johnson at Wake Forest, 11th overall pick. Who's that, right? They could have had Nance. They could have had Danny Ainge. They could have had Eddie Johnson. They could have had Kelly Tripucka. All right?
And just to show my age a little bit, Eddie Johnson, when he was with Phoenix, that dude, he wouldn't miss. When he played the Warriors, he would not miss. I hated that guy. That guy was so good. There are just guys that scar us. Yeah, he's like, right? He reminds me sort of like a Jamal Crawford type, you know, kind of thin, wiry, but like right. He'd shoot and would never miss.
Right. I know. I agree with you, man. And, you know, he's actually an announcer right now. I think he does it for the Hawks. So he's had a broadcast career, you know, so a pretty successful one. I know he gets called into a lot of the radio shows here in the Bay Area from time to time to comment about basketball. So. All right, so then in the last guy, this is my last thing for the Wizards as far as their draft, the pre-draft analysis. You know, they've already picked Alex Saar, but in 1984, as one of their worst busts in their history is Melvin Turpin out of Kentucky, 6th overall. They could have had John Stockton, all right? But their top two busts in their history are in 2001, Kwame Brown out of high school, first overall pick. Could have had Paul Gasol, Jason Richardson, Zach Randolph, Tony Parker, Gilbert Arenas, and then 1983, Jeff Malone out of Mississippi State with the 10th overall pick. They could have had Hall of Famer Clyde Drexler. So, all right, so that's it for that.
So we got a comment from Linda that made me chuckle. It's like she's saying the Rockets need a guard. She's asking if they're looking at Caitlin Clark, which – That's kind of funny.
I like that. Good one, Linda. Thanks.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
But, hey, I'll tell you what.
You could do way worse than having her on your spot. Hey, I'll tell you right now, man.
I saw the first game, my first WNBA game in history. It looks like there's a pick coming up on.
Oh, yep. Looks like we got a pick. Yep. Reed Sheppard.
Reed Sheppard.
Yes.
Wow. All right. So that's the guy from Kentucky.
Yes, it is.
Yep, he's an outside shooting guy, man.
Correct. He is an outside shooting guy.
Yep.
He does have some off the ball defensive skills. You know, he's got a little bit of that junkyard dog in him. You know. I heard earlier in the day some people thought he was. I don't know if you want to say poor man's because he's only been in the league a year, but like a Pajemski type of.
Yeah.
Kind of. Defensive mindset, sort of. So that's what I've heard him. Yeah.
You know, and what's interesting is that I didn't think they would pick Reed Sheppard. I thought they would pick Dalton Knecht. Dalton Knecht is definitely an NBA ready type of player. I mean, this guy's a big dude out of Tennessee. Compares to kind of like a Mike Miller, Rex Chapman type. We covered this in the draft preview for the Rockets. So they kind of surprised me that they took a Reed Sheppard because with Dalton Knecht. Even though he's not that athletic, he definitely has size, and size matters in the NBA. But, you know, of course, athleticism also matters. But I don't know with respect to Reed Sheppard versus Dalton Knecht as far as athleticism. You know, maybe one had a better tryout than the other, right? Because that's what they call all these guys in. And maybe the Rockets, Ime Udoka and team, you know, they leaned on some of their veterans, like a Fred VanVleet, right, Dylan Brooks. You know, to see whether or not this guy fits. And maybe they felt like a Reed Shepherd fit better for him, right? So
yeah, with Van Fleet though, that's going to be a small backcourt, you know.
Just I know,
when
I know.
They're out there together, and that's always a concern of mine. You know, you always want at least one. If you're going to have one guard that's around 6 foot, you really want the other one to be 6'6", 6'7", somewhere in that range.
Right, or who knows? Maybe there could be a trade in the works too. Right, there could be a trade. I mean, he is small, and Fred Van Vliet is small, and. You know, we know that, you know, Jalen Green is the other guy who's kind of not necessarily not small, but he's not large either. So that's three small guys in their backcourt, which is why it surprises me that they picked a Reed Shepherd over a Dalton Connect. I thought Dalton Connect would be this pick, in my opinion. So,
yeah.
But, you know, another guy that has been kind of touted is another guy that I think is going to fall pretty close right after this is Brad Dillingham out of Kentucky. I think he's the better player out of Kentucky between Reed Shepherd and Brad Dillingham. They're both smaller stature guy. Brad Dillingham's more like 175 pounds versus Reed Shepherd's 185 pounds. But, you know, Brad Dillingham's been kind of compared to, you know, the similar skill set of Kyrie Irving. You know, the similar kind of like breakdown defenses with their speed and their dribbling ability and finishing ability. I mean, to me, that's a prospect that you definitely want to take a chance on. But anyway,
you're thinking you might have gone that choice. You might have gone down that avenue instead.
I would have gone Dalton Connect just because he's a bigger player and big, translates well in the NBA. And, you know, athleticism, they both are probably not as athletic as maybe others. Maybe Reed Shepherd is a better shooter than Dalton Connect. But there's other factors, rebounding, right? I mean, the bigger guy's going to probably be a better rebound, you know, in theory, right? Yeah. But Brad Dillingham is just, to me, a better, more explosive player than Reed Shepherd. That's who I would have picked if I were them. But, hey, they have their reasons. Like I said, who knows? There might be
Houston's one of those teams. You know, we talked about, you know, some of the older teams in the West. You know, the Lakers, the Warriors, you know, to some extent, well, the Phoenix Suns, you know, and, you know, like here comes the Spurs, here comes the Rockets. You know, if Memphis manages to stay healthy for any period of time or not get suspended, then, you know, they're a force. They could be a force to be reckoned with. So, you know, we'll see how this pick plays with Houston. Like I said, he's more of a defensive guard. You know, he's around that mindset. So, you know, if they're trying to balance out between defense and offense, I think he's a good pick. But, you know, again, we'll see what they're trying to do there and go. But Houston, I like the direction they've been going in so far. So I have no reason to doubt this pick, at least at this point in time.
I'm with you, man. So, okay, so now we know that the Spurs have about 2 minutes remaining. And
correct.
What we discussed in our pre-draft show, we thought that they just need – more veteran help to help this emerging transcendent superstar in Victor Wembanyama. They have way too much on this team and not enough difference makers. So I think that there's going to be, if any team's going to be making some trades, it's going to be the Spurs, man. You know, the trade targets we had talked about, and by the way, Tuan, like I said, we mentioned earlier for those reviewing, Tuan nailed, you know, the Knicks picking up Mikal Bridges. He talked about that last week in the pre-draft show, and it happened, right? But these are some of the other ones that I think could happen. So we know Klay Thompson is a guy that isn't signed yet, right? He's a free agent. He would be a good pick for the Spurs, but I don't know if that'd be a destination that Klay Thompson would go to. DeMar DeRozan would be another one that could be potentially as somebody that could, you know, be traded for. Zach LaVine, Darius Garland, Donovan Mitchell, D'Angelo Russell, Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, right? These are all guys that I think could be a potential trade target for the Spurs. But as far as their pick, because they're coming up here, you know, I know that they're very high on Stephon Castle, man. But Cody Williams is a guy that's been shooting up the draft charts right now. So it's going to be interesting to see who they pick. But Stephon Castle totally fits the mold of a Greg Popovich type of defensive-minded player.
Correct.
He's in the mold of a Kawhi Leonard, honestly, because the similar size. You know, they're both very defensive minded, and they can work on their offense later, right? And that's what Kawhi Leonard did.
All right, here we go. Here's the pick. It's coming in.
All right. Let's see who it is. Who do you say, Tuan? You're probably going to say exactly what Adam Silver says.
Matas Bucelis. Oh, you're right. You nailed it.
Who? Matas Vasili?
No. Stephon Castle.
Oh, Stephon Castle. Like, dude, yes. Oh, yeah. They were just, man.
You were just talking about him.
Yep. And this guy's going to be a player, man. He is going to be a player.
Yeah, I mean, he's 6'5 guard, you know, which gives you good size. Defensive ball player, like you mentioned, something that Spurs really love. You know, obviously just won the NCAA championship. That always, you know, goes a long way with me in terms of, you know, that championship gene, just kind of that winner's mentality. I think you're right. I mean, I think this is a really good pick for San Antonio.
Oh, for sure. Like I said, he's a Kawhi Leonard mold, man. I mean, this guy is going to be a player in the NBA, for sure. I didn't think he'd be picked this high. I think most people had him probably like around the 5 to 8 range. I mean, it's only a pick, you know, it's a pick sooner than everybody anticipated. But, you know, the team's going to pick who they want, right? And the San Antonio Spurs, I had heard all kinds of news out there that that's who they really, really, really wanted, and that's who they were targeting. So, but, you know, I think next, you know, with the next pick right here, you know, with the Detroit Pistons, correct. You know, this is a team that you covered. You know, you had said either Matas Vuzelis or Cody Williams. Yes. So, you know, and I think you said as far as their roster needs, you had more leadership and more shooting. So
correct. Some of the needs that I had for Detroit, yeah, were hold on, let me get them here. Pistons.
Yeah. And by the way, audience, for those of you who are just coming in, please feel free to ask us any questions. We definitely enjoy that. You know, we've had a few already, so continue to have those coming, and hopefully you're enjoying the show.
Yeah, so, you know, kind of what you mentioned earlier with the Wizards, you know, they need talent all over. They've had a lot of injuries,
yep.
So that's made the situation a little foggy, who can play with who. They definitely need some additional leadership, you know, whether they can get that from the draft, you know, it's hard to say. You know, they need more shooting. They just need everything all around. You know, just as a reminder for everyone, some trade targets that I put in place just based on the leadership part. And of course, you know, me being a Warriors fan, but I thought Draymond Green maybe want to go home and provide some leadership to Detroit, you know, and then in terms of just kind of instant offense, more scoring, I had Zach LaVine kind of as a potential person that, you know, Detroit might want to target in bringing in. And you're right, for my two draft targets that I had at this point, I had Matas Muzelis and Cody Williams as a couple of players that, you know, Detroit might want to look at this end. And given that Matas is still available, I'm going to lean towards that kind of that way.
Interesting. You know, okay, that's your call. All right.
Yeah, he's a 6'9", small forward, you know. So, you know, there've been some comparisons to Hedo Turkoglu, you know, from the great Sacramento Kings.
Sacramento Kings, yeah.
So, you know, we'll see how that looks, and we'll see how that's coming about. But yeah, I think that, you know, Detroit needs a lot of help. You know, I think one of the things that you know, they traded for James Wiseman with the Warriors, and I think they're going to let him walk this offseason. I don't think they want to pay him the fifth year.
No. Yeah.
So I think Wiseman might be a free agent. So there's a potential big man kind of roaming around, more of a project, I would say, at this point.
For sure.
And, you know, you and I have had talks about him, but I don't want to, you know, go too deep into him. But I think him is more in the psyche than his actual
– It absolutely is in his psyche.
Offensive player.
Absolutely, you know, in his psyche.
Yeah, yep. He's not someone that I had targeted as a trade or a pickup, but, you know, someone that might be available for a younger team, you know, like Washington or like, you know, other kind of Atlanta, you know, if they want a big man, those types of squads that are trying to expand.
Hey, real quick, man, you know, they're showing Dan Hurley here talking to Stephon Castle, right? Dan Hurley definitely decided not to take the Los Angeles Lakers job and essentially stiffed them to go back to UConn and try to do a three-peat, right? You know, they're going to lose a lot of players in this draft, man. You know, they're going to lose Stephon Castle. I think Donovan Klingon is going to be picked probably within the next 2 to 3 picks, honestly. Right. You're saying Matas Vuzelis? It's possible these guys might take Klingon, but, you know, Detroit has, you know, they have a few bigs themselves, but, you know, they're not all like, you know, not Donovan Klingon. That guy's huge. But, you know, what do you think about Dan Hurley, man, taking that job back to?
Well, you know, I'm a little, you know, I don't, I don't, I'm not going to claim to know the interview process.
Right.
But, you know, I would assume that Hurley was offered the job and he said, hey, let me think about it. So I don't know if I necessarily thought he stiffed him, you know, in that sense. To me, it's just like, you know what, thanks, but I think I'm going to stay where I'm at. You know, could he have been leveraging some kind of negotiations with UConn while that's going on, or, you know.
And, it's possible.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. But, you know, to me, you know, I mean, here we go.
Oh, they're making a pick? Pick is in.
Yeah, the pick is in. It'll take a minute. But to me, it's really hard to coach a LeBron team. You know, I don't know if it's the Lakers as it is, you know, it's just really hard because he's very embedded in how the team is going to do and who's going to play. And, you know, I'm not saying he's making those decisions, but it is really challenging. And coming from a college environment where you have more control than pretty much any NBA coach does, and then you're going to a team that has a player that's, you know, you're going to have to convince of your decisions, I can see why Hurley would have said, you know what, after thinking it over,
yeah,
I think I'm
just going to stay
in UConn, you know?
Yeah, but, you know, but LeBron, you know, got his buddy J.J. Redick hired, right? So
yes, he did, which is what I had figured was going to happen all along.
That's going to be interesting to see, you know, that dynamic play out. I don't know if you saw his press conference, but it's pretty classic.
I did.
He dropped a couple of F-bombs, didn't care, right?
Yeah.
In front of everybody. And, of course, you know, they asked about his podcast, whether or not he's going to continue it, you know, and he's saying his media days are over for the time being, right? So now, you know, LeBron's going to have to find another running mate on his podcast, right? Because he can't be the coach and the player anymore, right? So,
yeah.
But it's interesting.
Could you imagine that podcast the day after the game? Dude, what's his face? Stop, dude. What was he doing?
Yeah. Totally, man. Totally. But you're right, man. You know, for those of you listening, we, you know, Twan broke down, you know, why LeBron wouldn't be in his top five of all time. Yes. And it's a very, very popular podcast. You know, it's probably our most viewed podcast. And he breaks down why LeBron isn't a good fit for him. So definitely take a listen on that. It's our third episode.
Yeah, which reminds me, you know, someone called me out or called us out for talking about LeBron. You know, we're trying to bring viewership to our podcast.
Right.
I think the phrase this person used was fame whore. And you know, I just look at LeBron and I think, you know, he's a good player. He's got a lot of good things, but then there's other things when you're talking about greatness. There's other aspects to consider, you know, and, you know, he's moved around a lot.
We're about
he's
to make a pick.
Oh, they're going to make a pick. All right, it's in. Ron Holland. They took Ron Holland.
I can't believe they didn't take Donovan Clingan.
No.
Wow.
They took
that
Ron Holland.
That surprises me, man. That's a surprising pick.
That is a, you know, they definitely moved up.
Wow.
Or move him up in the order, I should say.
Wow, you know? Man. Now, I know you were one of the first ones to call him out, but I don't know exactly when you called him out. But that guy's been shooting up the draft, the mock drafts quite a bit. And, you actually one of the first ones to call him out, actually. I think
correct.
With the Memphis.
I had him going around the ninth pick, you know, to Memphis. You know, this is an interesting pick because, you know, he's a 6'6 guy, a 6'6 wing. And, you know, there was a couple of players that I thought maybe were, Stephon Castle was gone.
Yep.
Cody Williams was one that you could have considered in this particular spot. But
and I'm surprised he's slipping, man. Cody, because, I mean, seriously, a lot of people had him going a little earlier than most people thought, but he's slipping right now, man. So
let me ask you this, Eddie, for Clingan, right? I look at him as more of a player that would benefit a team that's already kind of established a little bit, as opposed to, you know, he's a little limited in terms of all the things he can do.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of like, you know, stepping out and shooting threes or perimeter defense, you know, I see him more as a player that comes to an established situation, is maybe splitting time with a more athletic big. You know,
right.
When you need more defense, maybe you bring him in and then the athletic big and you kind of do that, which is kind of why, you know, if a lot of these teams obviously higher up in the draft, they have a lot of needs. And so I've always wondered, you know, how high he would go given kind of my outlook of him in that way.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, like I said, this is a surprising pick. I know I don't think any of us saw this coming. But they have their reasons, right? I mean, you know, this guy is, you know, a pretty versatile guy. I don't know if his shooting is that great. I know he's kind of like, you know, an aggressive type of scorer. But you know, I think that, you know, let's put it this way. Detroit is, you know, a team that needs a lot of help, and they're trying to figure out who they are. And maybe they felt this guy was their best value moving forward for what they're trying to do. I mean, we'll see, man. I mean, you know, Monty Williams is no longer there. And I was surprised by that, man. Honestly,
well, I was not only surprised, I thought that was a mistake, if you ask
me. Yeah, I mean, give the guy only more than a year. I mean, that's kind of ridiculous, man, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good coach. He needs more than a year. You know, yeah, I didn't necessarily agree with that. You know, never mind the finances. It's not my money, so they could spend it however they want. But
right.
I just thought, you know, you need to give a coach, you know, minimum of 3 years. You know, sure. But, you know, the Lakers did the same thing to Darvin Ham. You know, I don't really know what these teams are trying to accomplish or what they're trying to look for in a coach, you know, in one season. You know, when you're still getting to know your players, you're still implementing your offense, you're still trying to find, you know, the right players for your system. I mean, there's so much that goes into this. And for you to have a guy for 1 year and then give him the boot, especially as much money as you paid Monty Williams. Again, I'm not my money. I don't care. But come on.
He's a culture changer, man. Give him some time to freaking change the culture, right? I mean, to me, that screams of ownership that's just inexperienced and just, you know, I don't know, man. That's frustrating to me to see someone like that.
I agree.
Good dude in the NBA, man, and didn't deserve to be treated that way, man. So I thought he'd have a longer leash than that. So, okay, we got the Charlotte Hornets on the clock here. So, you know, what we talked about. it was me. So, you know, the guys that I thought that they would target would be Stephon Castle, who's now gone, right?
Gone.
So I think that because some of the roster needs, you know, they have some decent talent. They have, you know, they had two bigs already in Nick Richards and Mark Williams, and you know, Buscelli is kind of like in that mold, but you know, I think he probably could be more of like a power forward type. But they need more veteran depth, and then they need a better backcourt. That was what I thought their roster needed, and they needed some more defensive minded rotational pieces. They're kind of too very offensive minded, in my opinion. So they need a lot more help on the defensive front. So, you know, that's why I thought Stephon Castle would be a guy that they would definitely target. But we knew that the San Antonio Spurs liked Stephon Castle, so now he's off the board. So my call would be Matas Vucelis as the guy.
Yeah.
But as far as trade targets, you know, I had because, you know, they need more veteran depth and they need a better point guard, I had Tyus Jones to be a backup to LaMelo Ball. You know, he's out of Washington. He could be a good backup point guard. And then for shooting, I had Klay Thompson and Lu Dort. You know, those are guys. Lu Dort, not necessarily a shooter, but just a good rotational piece. And we know that the Oklahoma City Thunder, you know, they have a lot of pieces right now, and they also just added Alex Caruso, right? So you know, Alex Caruso is kind of in the same mold as a Lu Dort, but you know, a bigger version or a taller version, and probably does a lot more than Lu Dort. So that kind of tells me, hey, they have duplicates there. Maybe Lu Dort could be dealt. Then the other thing I thought is maybe dangle Nick Richards or Mark Williams, because they're both of the same type. They're both centers that are very similar, right? So they're both good and they're both developing, but they're both the same type. I think you need a more complementary piece from a backup center standpoint to back up the other, unless you have the skill set of like a Nikola Jokic. And you can find somebody like that to come off the bench and be like him. That's a whole different story, right? But we're talking about guys that are more on the traditional side of things as a center. So that's what I think the Charlotte Hornets should do. So anyway, so my call on this pick is Matas Vucelis based on their roster needs. What do you think? Anything that stands out for you as far as
Charlotte? Well, you know, the interesting thing is I'm going down and watching, reading these guys' bios and going, you know, right now I would argue that the picks are leaning towards guys that have some defensive skills. You know, the ones that are kind of all offensive kind of, you know, have been like Cody Williams, right? For example, he was higher on the board than I had him than this pick, right? And so he's been pushed down a little bit, and you know, he's more of an offensive playmaker, you know. So we'll see how this goes, but that's kind of what I'm noticing in terms of this pick. Yeah, I think Vucelis. I mean, I had him a couple of picks earlier, but I think that, you know, I think he'd be a good pickup. You know, he's got some off the ball defense. You know, obviously he's got a good feel for the game. You know, he creates some space, and so you know, and he's got a little bit of a professional you know, with the Ignite. So, you know, we'll see.
Yep. Okay, here. So Linda, thanks Linda for another question. Appreciate it. Linda Vicia says, "What's your take on the Celtics head coach and those wild answers he gave during the finals?"
Yeah, I don't remember which one specifically, but you know, Boston's on a roll with these coaches. You know,
I didn't expect Joe Mazzulla to be that type of guy, you know, but he's kind of mild-mannered, easygoing. You know, he definitely carries himself that well. I think he's one of the youngest coaches in the NBA. So, but as far as his wild answers, unfortunately, Linda, I can't comment on it because I didn't see the wild answers.
Yeah,
it'd be great if you put a comment as to what he said, and then we can comment on what he said. But unfortunately, I didn't see it. Maybe we can look at it on the video as we're buying time right now. But, thanks for the question, Linda. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I can't answer because
hold on. Here we got a Charlotte Hornets pick is in.
All right.
Who'd they take? Who? Tijian Salum.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Man.
Okay. This guy kind of shot up the draft boards recently, too.
Whoa.
Yeah. Big dude, man.
Okay, like, I see him. Dude? Yeah, from France.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Wow. All right.
Yeah. So this. Yeah. I mean, like I said, man, France is pumping out some players, man. There's
and
three
again, dude,
draft
another,
picks.
Another defensive guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. There you go. There's three guys that have been taken. You know, and like from I thought, France. You know, they took a big guy. But, you know, they took a 6'9 guy over a 6'10 guy because Matas Bucelis is a 6'10 guy, you know, and 195 pounds, whereas this guy's a little heavier, right? He's a 210-pound guy out of France. So maybe it might be just the reputation of France players, man, these days. You never know. I mean, that might be a reason in itself. Victor Wembanyama proved that, right? It's like, oh, my God, this guy's a freak show. I mean, he is a freak show, man. That dude is going to be a baller for the next decade. Assuming his health stays intact, right? So,
well, a 7'1" wingspan, you know, that'll cover it.
Yep.
That's a pretty good wingspan.
Yep. So, I'm just trying to figure out where we talked about Matas, this guy, Tijani Salum. So,
yeah. I'm trying to see if I don't think I even had him in any of my.
I don't think so.
No.
Yeah, you know, I knew we talked about him at one time, but I don't remember exactly where he is. So let me see if I can.
So you know, this brings up a topic, you know, for everyone out there. You know, when we were, you know, and again, old man yelling at the clouds moment. you know, when we were younger, it was so easy to know the players and the colleges and. You know, because they stay together for multiple years. Now it's just they're coming in from so many different places.
Yeah.
You know, they're coming in internationally.
It's hard to keep track of them.
Yeah, they're coming in from the G League, and then you got the college players who most only stay for about a year, you know, and it's just – it's really, really different now, the draft. It's a little more – I guess the scouts know, you know, who they're scouting and the picks that they're making, and we'll see how these things play out. But from a fan perspective, it's a lot more unknown.
Right.
You know, I mean, how many France games are you even watching? You know,
I haven't watched any.
Professional France League. That's what I'm saying, you know. So it's really hard to kind of get a pulse on some of these guys and know, you know, where they're at.
Yeah, totally, man, totally. So,
so we'll see how this pick plays out. You know, I haven't seen him play much. But he's, like I said, he's a 7-foot wingspan guy, 6'9" guy, a little heavier, 210 pounds. So, and he's more of a defensive guy, more of a defensive presence, which to me, like, as we've mentioned many times, it's
defense wins games.
If you go with defense, you know, the rest will come along.
Exactly. It's harder to teach defense than it is to teach offense. And I think a lot of these GMs and scouts have figured that out. You know, these defense, like we already said, wins championships, and we know that the Boston Celtics have defensive guys galore, right? And we knew that you know, the Mavericks are another one that have defensive players galore, but they just need more help offensively. I mean, they, you know, they need more depth. They don't have that. And that's, I think everybody's building on depth right now. That's what they need to be competitive.
Yeah. So,
yeah. All right. So let's see. All right. So here, Linda, right on, says, my husband loves Wemby, but roots for Chet Holmgren too. Personally, I'm not into 7 foot skinny men. Give me some meat. So Linda, well, the question is, so Linda, the question is, does your husband have some meat? Some meat.
Is he 7 foot? If so, why is he in the meat?
And not skinny,
yeah.
Right?
Just, yeah.
Yeah.
So, no, but you know, brings up sort of an interesting point. You know, back in the day, you looked at guys like Sean Bradley, Manute Bol, you know, some of these kind of skinny guys that didn't really work out in the league, you know, because they were down in the low post. They had to bump against, you know, the Shaquille O'Neals and the Yao Mings and the guys that, you know, like Linda said, have some meat.
Wait, Portland's making a pick right here.
Oh, Donovan Clingan.
Yeah, that surprises me that they didn't take them. I mean, that just fell to him, man.
That fell to him.
Big
so they picked up Clingan. Well, do you like this pick for them?
Well, you know, I guess they're looking at they already have, you know, DeAndre Ayton, right?
Yes.
And this guy is maybe a similar mold to DeAndre Ayton. So maybe they think, you know, this guy is a good backup to DeAndre Ayton. You know, someone who's kind of like a Walker Kessler type. You know. Yep. Walker Kessler, who's a very defensive-minded guy, and this guy's a beast, dude. Donovan Kling is a big dude. Look how big this guy is, 7'3", 200.
Yeah.
I mean, he's an inch shorter than Zach Edey, right? But he was causing problems against Zach Edey, right? You know, when they were playing against each other in the championship game. I mean, he can just match his size and his strength, and he's a very good defensive guy. And, you know, the only real knock on this guy is that for his size, he doesn't rebound very well, right? Yeah. And he can't shoot. He can shoot, but he doesn't shoot at a good clip. He can shoot the three every now and then, but he's just, you know, he's more of a defensive kind of traditional low post kind of center type. And, you know, I think it's a good pick, man, honestly, because it really depends. I think if Portland is just saying that DeAndre Ayton is going to be our center, we need a backup, a really good backup for him. And this guy, you know, is a good backup for him right now and can learn from someone that has a similar size. I don't know about the skill set, but similar
size.
But
presuming you're right, Eddie, let me play devil's advocate here a little bit.
Okay.
You know, you're high in the lottery. Why the hell are you looking for a backup in the lottery?
Well, I mean, you pointed it out earlier when you brought up Donovan Clingan. You know, like he's not a guy that should go to a team that's, you know, rebuilding, right?
And, yeah.
And Portland's and rebuilding.
I would consider Portland rebuilding, yeah.
Portland is rebuilding, right?
Yes.
He's more of a guy that would go to – you know, a team that is on the rise. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of the guys other than maybe Atlanta Hawks, you can argue that Atlanta Hawks are not necessarily on the rise, but they're not necessarily on the downfall either. They just have to kind of revamp their roster. He would be a better fit for someone like that, right? But I think they're looking at somebody who can kind of learn, you know, and become a better force in the NBA and learn from someone who has a similar size and skill set, or, you know, they maybe want him to become more like a DeAndre Ayton offensively, but, you know, he already has the defensive side that DeAndre Ayton already has. So that's possible why they may have done this, you know.
Do you think maybe this pick means Ayton's available?
I don't think so. Not anytime soon. I don't think so.
Okay.
So
they're going somewhat Twin Towers model.
All right, so here it says, let's see, we got Linda, love your questions here. All right, did you get a chance to meet with the royal family? And if not, what was it like having them in the building? The reporter asked. Missoula answers, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Nice. All right, Linda.
What do I think about that?
Linda Vicia says, that's what the boxing coach was asked and said. I love that, man. Give me some Missoula meat. Don't tell my husband. All right. You won't say anything, Linda.
Linda's
Mr. DC, I hope you're not listening.
Yes.
We're watching.
He's watching the draft.
Right. Nice.
I don't know if Azula got a lot of meat to give. He seems like a smaller guy, but all good.
Right, man. All right, man. So we have the Spurs, I think, that are on the clock.
Yes, or no, the Spurs. Yep, Spurs, I'll put them on here.
Spurs are on the clock.
We have the Spurs on the clock. So now their second lottery pick.
Second pick, yeah.
Yeah. Just a reminder, they went with Stephon Castle. So they went with in their first on the fourth pick. So we'll see what they do here. This is going to be interesting what they do because, you know, they kind of got that defensive wing slash guard player. And, you know, do they want to go offense? Is Cody Williams someone they might go with right here?
Maybe.
Buzelis is still available, which is who I thought they might take with the fourth pick.
You know, that's kind of the mold of these. You know, they might take, like, Buzelis here, man. You know, yeah, because we had Portland taking Stephon Castle in our pre-draft show. And then here, you know, we had Rob Dillingham or Stephon Castle. And I know, the other thing I know is that the San Antonio Spurs also liked Rob Dillingham. So they might go with him instead of Matas Buzelis because they already have a Wembanyama, right? Buzelis is more of a center-ish type. Or yep, power forward, but
do they go with a connect here?
Dalton Connect. Man, I can't believe this guy slipped, man. Yeah, because I thought he would be higher, especially because of his frame and so forth. But, yeah, I don't think Matas Buzelis would fit here, but you never know. You never know what the Popovich and the Spurs scouting crew, you know, they like a lot of these Euro types, right? And that's what Matas Buzelis is. He's a Euro type. They like their game, and they seem to be, you know, pretty high IQ basketball players. I mean, right now you can argue the two best players in the NBA currently are Europeans, right? You have Nikola Jokic. Right? Yep. And Luka Doncic. Yep. Those two are the consider. And then you can argue Giannis is number three and he's also European, you know, Greece, right? Yep. So there you go, right? So maybe they go with a Matas Buzelis here. But I'm going to go ahead and say that they're going to pick Rob Dillingham. What do you say, man? Who do you think?
I'm going to agree with you. I think that, you know, floor leader, you know, has the ball handling, like you mentioned. Good in movement, I think. I'm gonna go with that. I think they're gonna go with Dillingham here. I agree with you.
Cool.
You know, they're gonna go try to, you know, round out the roster with the pieces that they need.
Yeah, the thing. Yeah, and this guy is like he's a pretty good offensive minded type of guy, and you know we know that you know the Spurs can teach defense up, but they prefer more defensive oriented guy, and they're showing Rob Dillingham right now. On the screen.
Yep, that's what ESPN is thinking.
Yeah, that's what, I agree, man. So, because I know, I heard reports that they were high on him, and it looks like they're going to come in with the pick here, man. So, let's see who they pick.
All right, yep. Called it.
Rob Dillingham.
Yep, Dillingham.
Not bad, huh?
No, not bad. Good call.
Not bad. We should keep score, man. Yeah. So, all right. Yeah, you know, I got to tell you,
they got their Kyrie Irving. Is that what we're saying?
Well, you know, a Kyrie Irving like skill set, right? Because you know the Spurs, they didn't really have a really good point guard game, really. You know, they had the other guy, the other Jones, Trey Jones, at a Duke. And then they also had the guy who played, you know, out of Baylor. He's not necessarily a point guard type, but that's who they actually had him at point guard. Jeremy Sohan. That was the other guy that they had at point guard. And that guy's not like a point guard, man. So they need a traditional point guard. And this guy, Rob Dillingham, is more of the traditional point guard type. Very explosive. Like I said, he's got like, you know, 44% three-point shooting percentage, man, at 4 points. Four attempts per game. This guy has a tremendous offensive ability. And what's interesting is that this guy was a freshman out of Kentucky. He was coming off the bench, man. It's like, man, that's got to show you, like, Kentucky probably had, like, a squad if they're having this guy come off the bench, man. It's like, geez. And I think probably why they did that is they wanted to go ahead and have a matchup against guys that he could totally expose, you know, on the second team. That's probably why they did that. But, you know, this guy can, you know, he compares to, like I said, Kyrie Irving, Kemba Walker, Brandon Jennings type. So they got themselves a pretty explosive player here, to complement Victor Wembanyama. I just think they need a little bit more rotational veteran depth is what they need. I think they need to bring in some veterans to make this team very dangerous.
Well, you know, if you're looking at it positionally, they got a point guard. Yep. They got a wing. I mean, this is not bad. You know, they got their big man. So, you know, if this works out, they got three pieces there that could play. And we got John here from the PI, the Philippine Islands. Welcome, John. Welcome.
Oh, here we go. Great. Oh, yeah, we got Iggy coming on here pretty soon.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, coming on pretty soon here. So we got a few more picks before he joins. John Satuito. You are live from Philippines. Right on, John.
Thank you.
You know, I used to play, I went to school in San Francisco, St. Ignatius College Preparatory in San Francisco. And there's a guy that I used to play basketball with the same last name. His name is Jonas Satuito. So same last name as John. So, wonder if you guys are related. I don't know how common of a name that is in the Philippines, but he's the guy that I played basketball with. He was a lefty. He was a pretty good player, man. He's kind of a point guard type, and lefty. And lefties are hard to guard because you just don't know how to handle it. So thanks, John. Thanks for coming out here from the Philippines.
Yeah, thanks for watching. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So, all right. So we have Memphis, man, as the next team. So they already have their pick is in. So here's who we thought. Dalton Connect, Ron Holland, or Keshaw Johnson would be the guy that they would pick here. Those are the three.
That's who we thought? Okay.
Yeah, those are the guys that we thought. So Dalton Connect, Ron Holland, Keshaw Johnson. Well, Keshaw Johnson is more of a later round pick, but I think it's either Dalton Connect or Ron Holland, but Keshaw Johnson was later.
Yeah, well, Ron Holland's off the board. So
someone looks like, oh, yeah, Ron, yeah. So
Connect. It would have to be Connect if we're right here.
We'll see. Okay, so let me ask you, who would you say? Would you say Connect or Ron Holland's gone. So is there,
correct.
So,
Ron Holland's gone, and
they need a starting center. Maybe.
They also need a caliber wing, which is Connect can do some of that. So I think they're going to go with Connect here.
You think Dalton Connect? All right.
Yeah, I think it's Dalton Connect.
Okay, so let's see. They have wing. Let's see. I'm trying to think of who else could be a guy that they could target here. You know, we could also. Matas Bucelis is a guy that we've already thought. Cody Williams. Cody Williams is another guy.
Cody Williams. He's really dropped, by the way.
Really dropped. Yeah. So I would say that, you know, the Memphis Grizzlies probably don't need that much offensive help. They're probably a little bit more defensive minded, I think they need. I think that's what we talked about, that they needed a little bit more they need additional ball handling is what you had indicated on your notes. Yeah. And then
they needed a wing. They needed
starting
a wing.
Starting center too.
Center as well.
Yeah. So
all right,
that's
here's
what you
pick. Here's all right. Pick.
Here it comes. I'm going to say.
I'm sticking with Connect.
I'm going to say Matas Bucelis. That's what I'm saying.
All right.
All right. Let's
see. Oh, Zach Edey. They went with your center. They need a center. They went with Edey.
Oh my God.
Little bit of a shocker there. By the way, you know, I'm digging this logo, by the way, the one we're sharing. I'm digging it.
You think you like it?
Yeah, I like it. I don't know why.
Oh, my goodness. Zach Edey. Dude, you know, we talked a lot about this guy on our shows. This guy is a problem offensively.
Correct.
A problem.
Correct.
But defensively is where I think he's the liability, especially in the NBA. The guy is a plotter, right? He needs to get more agile. Now, you can't teach agility. You either have it or you don't, right? But a lot of teams say this guy could play really good in spurts, like 10 minutes, you know, 10-minute game, you know, 10 minutes per game, you know, that kind of thing, 10 to 15 minutes max. And you use them in different matchups to create a matchup problem on the offensive end. And, of course, defensively, you know, he will make sense, but – If they kind of keep him as, you know, kind of a safety in the back, right? And someone who's just guarding the basket, right? But if you have him, you know, in a pick and roll, he's going to be a problem. He's going to have a hard time picking up the roller or even picking up the guy who's going to be shooting from outside and then fighting over the freaking screen. I just think that this guy, as offensively talented as this guy is, I think he's going to be a liability on the defensive end. We shall see, man. But
The one thing about him, you know, he's got good footwork. At least down low.
For sure.
He can move his feet, which is at least the beginnings of a sign that you should be able to play defense.
Yep.
So maybe they can drop some weight on him, you know, maybe 20 pounds, 25 pounds, get him a little lighter so he's a little more mobile and he can give you more than 10 minutes of really good play. Maybe we're getting 20 minutes out of him now, something along those lines. Maybe that's what Memphis is hoping for.
Right.
But, you know, he is a defensive presence down there. He's a big body. He's going to, you know, it's going to be hard for, like, the Jokic's of the world to you know, come inside, you know, just based on the size. We'll see what he can do defensively kind of in the NBA level, but.
Yeah, we shall see, man. But
yeah,
that's a surprising pick. But good luck, man. I mean, you know, Memphis is in rebuild. You know, they didn't have Ja Morant last year for most of the season because of the things that he did. But, you know, they have some pieces around there that they can build around. You know, they have Triple J now with this guy. You know, I don't know how they're going to complement each other, but, you know, I don't know if they're going to sub in for each other or play with each other, because that's one of the things that we pointed out, that they needed, you know, a center depth. That was one. That's why I thought Matas Vasellis would be a guy that we picked. But before, I know that, so the pick is in for the Utah Jazz. So I actually had these guys. This was going to be one of my pre-draft previews I was going to try and cover before the pick was in, but the pick is already in, right? So I actually thought they would pick Donovan Clingan because I think they need more center depth. They need more shooting. They also need more veteran rotational depth because, you know, they have Lauri Markkanen, who is their best player, but I think he's likely going to be ending up on another team. They have a Walker Kessler, who's actually a very good big, and they have John Collins, the aforementioned John Collins, who used to be on the Atlanta Hawks, which is why I think they took Zachary Richardson as the pick because they probably missed that kind of a player. So, you know, in this case, now that that he's gone as far as Donovan Clingan, I think it's going to be Matas Vasellis. That's who I think they're going to pick. So that's
and at some point, Connect's got to go. So I'm thinking here.
Yeah. so you're staying here. You think Dalton Connect?
It's already in.
Man, they're going fast.
They are going fast.
Yeah. So let's see, man.
Okay, there it goes. Cody.
Cody Williams. Brought him
off the board. Do we want to bring Iggy up?
Oh, yeah. Let me go ahead and do that.
Let's do that.
Hold on. I'll go ahead and put bring him. Let me just go ahead and put up Cody Williams.
All right. There he is.
Hey,
Iggy, how you doing?
What's up, Iggy?
Great, guys. What's going on, man? Listening, and you know, as somebody that lives in Colorado, I just kept waiting for Cody Williams. I mean, 11.9 rebounds, 70%+ free throw, you know, great defender, and there it is going to Utah. Of all places, but that's okay.
Yeah. So you know about Cody Williams, it sounds like. You know about all of this game. What do you think, man? Why do you think he slipped?
I just, you know, maybe they just saw potential that, you know, not a right fit. I don't know what it is. I mean, the pedigree's there. Like I said, he had 16 blocks, 15 steals. A big part of the reason Colorado was able to even – get into that extra game for the tournament. You know, can put the team on his back. I think he's still got a lot of room to develop as well. We'll see what's going on in Utah. I don't know if they're, like, in a rebuild. I don't know if Lauri Markkanen's going to get moved off. But good move for Utah, I think, overall. Great move for the Jazz.
Right on. Well, hey, audience. So this is Ignacio or Iggy Gilbert. He lives in Colorado. Has covered the Denver Nuggets for 2 years via Denver Sports Betting. And the sports affiliation. Iggy has covered the 2023 and 2024 NBA season for Fantasy Alarm and is also a former AAU basketball player. So welcome, Iggy. Thanks for joining our show. We've heard a lot about you. And it sounds like we have the Latino thing here, right? The Latino connection, right? So to give you kind of a sense of where our parents are from, right? So both of my parents are from El Salvador, okay? So born and raised in San Francisco, right? And there's a lot of Salvadorians in San Francisco. And my wife is Mexican. So, you know, that's a common, a mix as well in San Francisco. So, Antoine, I guess you can go ahead and tell where you're from, man.
Yeah. I'm Anthony Corral. You know, I'm also from San Francisco. I'm a half and half. So I'm half Peruano, half Costarricense. So I got a little Central American, a little South American going on there. And, been knowing Eddie since high school. So we've been friends a long time. It's glad to have you on the show. Pleasure to meet you. How are you liking living up there in Colorado?
I love it. I've been up in the Rockies about 10 years, Colorado, 7 of that. And, you know, I enjoy it up here. Just so much recreational opportunity for somebody that enjoys, you know, sports and pursuing outdoor sports and raising my family, man. I have two little kids, 5 and 2. So a lot of opportunities to get out with them, you know. And I love it. First generation American. My father's from Mexico. Living it up here and, you know, just enjoying it, you know, enjoy basketball, kind of bittersweet with my Denver Nuggets, how the season ended against Minnesota, 20-point blowout. But that's the way it goes sometimes, you know. Kudos to Minnesota on their great season, you know. Division rivalry, you know, Utah, Minnesota, Denver. I keep it professional, but, you know, covering the Nuggets.
We try to keep it professional. You know, we're Warriors fans through and through, so we've been out of the mix a couple of years now, you know. And but Denver keeps punishing the Lakers. So as long as you keep doing that,
I love that.
Denver rates high in my votes there. So
we're on the same page there, and vice versa.
Right. Exactly. Hey, Twan, you know what? We got the Bulls on the pick is in, so we got to change the Bulls.
There
so
we now go.
The
pick is,
but they haven't announced it yet. So let me ask you this: so have you covered the draft a little bit or followed the draft as far as like who you think the teams might be picking? In this case, do you know who maybe Chicago might be targeting here, Iggy?
You know, after they completed the trade to get, why am I blanking on the name right now, from OKC?
Josh Giddey.
They may be looking for a little bit of defensive help right here. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if we do see somebody like, you know, Devin Carter come off or, you know, somebody we're not expecting to get that help in the backcourt and try to ensure a better defense, because they're going to have to do something to replace Alex Caruso, one of the better defenders, in the NBA. So we'll see how it pans out, but I'm looking defensive pick here.
Yeah, I think so too.
I was not a fan of that trade for Chicago.
I wasn't either. I think it's so low, honestly.
I didn't like it.
Caruso was like the talk of a lot of teams. I mean, I'm surprised that they settled for what they settled for. I mean, Josh Giddey was kind of not even playing in the playoffs, OKC, and he's a big guy. He's 6'8". And can dribble the ball, but he can't really shoot very well. And I think that's part of the reason why he sat, and maybe his defense wasn't up to par as well. But, you know, I'm with you, Iggy, that defense is what people want these days. They want good two-way players. And what, you know, Twan and I have been talking about is that it's a lot easier to teach offense to a defensive-minded player that's already that way, right? It's easier to teach the offense rather than someone who's very good offensively teaching them the defense. And it's probably an energy thing, too.
Well, it's also a mentality thing, right? I mean, defense is a mentality, right? You got to have a little dog in you. You got to be wanting to get in people's kitchen, you know, that type of stuff. And if you don't have it, you know, if you're just kind of an offensive guy, that might be a skill that you're lacking, you know. So,
right.
But not in all cases. I mean, we got players like Russell Westbrook who has all the dog you want in him, but it's just all on the offensive end.
Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting, Iggy, is that, you know, we did a pre-draft show, you know, the last 3 weeks leading up to the draft. And, you know, Twan, I think you covered Chicago. And one of the guys that you had in there that they should target is Cody Williams. Devin Carter was the guy that Iggy brought up. So you had Cody Williams, Devin Carter, Ron Holland, and Tyler Smith. Those were the guys that you thought that Chicago would pick. So, but, yeah, it lines up. Devin Carter's the guy that I think Iggy's calling.
Yeah,
so,
Ron Holland and Cody Williams are off the board. So.
And I think from what you said, more defense was needed, which is what Devin Carter is. More shooting. So Cody Williams is probably that, but he's already gone. And then the backup center, you know, we have this Tyler Smith who could be kind of like a power four slash center guy. So, you know, if they want to draft the center, that's probably the guy that they might be targeting. Or the guy who's been slipping, Montas Vucelis, he might be another guy. So it might be one of those two guys. So it's probably one of those three. Devin Carter, Montas Vucelis, or Tyler Smith. It's one of those three, in my opinion.
Yeah, most likely.
Yeah.
It will be interesting to see. I think, like I said, Carter just makes perfect sense to me. I don't know if that's where they're going to go. You know, it's hard to know what a front office wants to do, how they evaluate people, but it makes sense. And, yeah, you know, I don't know how, you know, I think it's going to get broke up still. DeRozan, Vukacek, and LaVine. I mean, if they openly said they want to get rid of LaVine, but we'll see if that's still doable for them. But right now they have that along with Giddey. You know, I still think they need an elite backcourt guard. We all love DeRozan with his play, but I don't know that he's a great defender, but he's going to need help in that backcourt.
whenever he's guarding a guard or gets switched onto a guard.
And, yeah. You know, they have a lot of pieces there, man, and they just, for whatever reason, couldn't make it all gel together, right? Vucevic is, you know, he's a pretty good damn center out there. He can do a lot of different things for you, right? And then you have Zach LaVine, probably more of an offensive threat than anything else. That's probably all he really does. But DeMar DeRozan is a valued, a valued veteran in this league. It looks like the Bulls have made a pick. So, about to announce it.
Right there
he
is, Muzelis. They went with Muzelis.
Muzelis, off the board. Another G League player.
Another
G League
guy.
Yep. Here we go. I got to tell you, with all these freaking names and pictures and stuff, get to this really
another guy with some off-the-ball defensive skills. I'm telling you, man, they're like plucking the defensive players as much as they can.
That's exactly it, man. So so any picks in the first what is it? We're in the 11th pick. Any picks that really made you go, whoa, and which ones made you go, yeah, that was a good pick? Anything that stands out to you right now, Iggy, from what you've seen so far from the picks?
Well, like you guys, I mean, it shouldn't be surprising. You know, we're going back to the Randolph days or the Steven Adams days, I think, with 80 in Memphis and kind of what they like to do with big centers, big defensive, strong centers. It's a little surprising, but when you look at that franchise, I'm like, well, that's not too bad. I think Williams had to be a little bit of a surprise. I just expected him to go a little bit earlier. You know, Portland, are they still going to give the reins to what looked like an improvement? DeAndre Ayton, after he figured out how to shovel snow, I guess. And then I don't know what's going to happen with that scenario, but you got to think that Donovan's going to get some immediate play time. You know, I don't think they wasted a top four pick like that, a leader like that, and not playing. So I think that's going to be interesting. I expected him to go. I just didn't really expect Portland to do that after, you know, making the trade for Ayton. So I think those are my two big ones. So.
I'm with you.
I agree. And then we got another comment or question from Linda.
More meat from Linda.
Linda,
you need to go. You need to go vegetarian, Linda.
Yeah, she's like, now Zach Edey, there's some meat, 300 pounds. He's solid. The question is, can he grow into the role? If so, how long do you think someone like him can develop? So, who wants to take a stab at that question?
Well, I mean, you know, big men are always the slowest to develop. You know, they're always the one that takes longest to be in this league, and especially now where the big man game is more perimeter than it is inside. So I think, you know, I don't know if Edey will ever be a perimeter guy, you know. But then again, I mean, you look at someone like Jokic, right? He's not really a perimeter guy. I mean, he can, you know, but, you know, he's more of a ball handler, more of a distributor, more of, you know, so I don't know. I don't think Edey has those skill sets in him, but maybe he can do something kind of in between.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like I said, going back to the franchise, like kind of pedigree of having a good, strong center to pair with Ja Morant, I think people kind of forgotten about him. Memphis could be good. You know, they're I don't know. They made some questionable moves, but the West is going to be a tough ladder to climb. Memphis isn't just going to just walk back in and get a number two seed like they were 2 years ago. I just think that's not going to be the same scenario for them. So I think they have time. I don't think they're in a win now scenario. I think they've got a nucleus. They got a great core now with Ja and Zach, and maybe they can just keep building on that or get a trade piece and have a team for the back half of this decade.
Yeah. They got Triple J, which I really like. So
I like Triple J a lot.
Man. Yeah. Yeah. I forgot. Yeah. Triple J.
Triple J. I love that guy on that team, man. But on the Warriors, so we're big time Warrior fans. You know, we haven't really brought that out yet, but we are big time. So we got OKC on the clock. They have two, three. Okay, so we can talk a little bit about OKC. So in our draft draft preview show, we had talked about them needing a rotational piece that has significant playoff experience. They lack experience, right? But the thing is, you can't draft experience really in the draft, right? But you know, from what we've seen, given that now they've gotten rid of one of their point guards in Josh Giddey, I think the point guard out of Serbia, Nikola Topic, I think is the guy that they're going to be targeting. That's who I think. This is a guy who has a lot of high basketball IQ, good feel for the game. Has good tempo, is a great passer, really good pick and roll player, right? And I think that his shot is okay. He can develop that, but he's big. He's 6'6", right? So that's why I think that's 6'6". Josh Giddey was 6'8", right? And this guy is like 19 years young, too. And so that's who I think they're going to pick. What about you guys? Any thoughts that you guys think that who might be falling here?
Well, for me, you know, I thought this might be an opportunity for Oklahoma to see who they can pick up on the veteran from a trade. So maybe trade this pick. You know, that's kind of the way I was leaning, even though, you know, we were making those types of decisions. But, yeah, I mean, you're right. They gave up Giddey. They're going to need a point guard. I think that, you know, if that's what they're looking at. But to me, it might have made a little more sense to try to see who they can get on the market.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there could be trades.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's. I mean, the pick is in, so we'll see pretty quick. They didn't trade. Yeah, no trades yet. As much as I built it up that there's going to be there, I think Nikola Topic should be good. 6'6", it's everything that the Oklahoma City want to, you know, incorporate. Good defense, teach him a little bit better on that. Because other than that, you're looking at what, Isaiah Collier from USC? I don't think they reach right here for him right now, personally, at the point guard position. You could get Devin Carter, you know, fits the mold. Right. A little small for them, 6'2", but great defensive-minded. You know, OKC's going to have another great defense. You can rely on that. So we'll see here. I agree with you, though. I think it's Nikola Topic right here. They're going to get the size they want. They're going to get maybe a good backup player and roll with him.
Yep. Another guy that hasn't been picked is Dalton Knecht.
Yeah.
Another potential, right? It's one of It's going to be one of those two, in my opinion.
Hey, just curious on your overall thought on the strength of this draft. You know, it seems like, you know, at least to me, there's no clear cut. There was no clear cut number one. That was kind of going back and forth. There's a lot of, international players, as there will be. There are a lot of, G League players. What are your thoughts kind of on the strength of the overall draft? Do you think this is a weaker draft class than, you know, in previous years? Or, you know, do you have a feel for that?
I think it's always – I've always want to wait until we get 4 years into it to, you know, truly test it, and we'll see then. You know, we'll know the answer after 4 years. But I do believe, if you compare it to last year's, there might not be as much depth here. You know, I still have a couple big centers in Kyle Filipowski, Yivas Missi, Deron Holmes. I'm going to butcher this, Khalil Wade. I think there's still some good centers available that can kind of tilt a team, I think, because the East is wide open. There's only Joel Embiid, really, and Bam Adebayo. After that, the East center is kind of wide open, in my opinion. So we'll see if they have an impact. I look forward to that. But there it is, Nikola Topic. Yep, guards, Serbia. So great call.
You know, it just made sense because, you know, the Josh Giddey is gone. He was their point guard. And this guy kind of similar mold to Josh Giddey, but a better overall kind of pick and roll kind of player. Although Josh Giddey was not necessarily bad at that. I think they just felt that they, I think his shooting was the issue, honestly. And maybe they feel this guy could be a better fit for their squad. So,
yeah.
So not bad, huh? All right. So we should keep track of who's right here, man. And then we can buy each other beers next time we see each other.
There you go.
Yeah.
I love it.
All right, so let's see. Now the next team that's going to be on the clock here are the Sacramento Kings. And Twan, I think this was one of the teams that you had covered. So
Yeah. A couple of draft targets I had here was Isaiah Collier, who we were just talking about, and Dalton Knecht, you know, were a couple of picks here that I had identified. I didn't think Knecht would be here at that stage, but, you know, I thought
not either.
In terms of, you know, they need some shooting. You know, they shot a lot, but their three-point percentage wasn't very good. So they need some more accurate shooting. So that's, you know, a couple of people that I kind of called out there that might fit that need. I did have a couple of trade targets. One was Mikal Bridges, so I had him on a couple of different spots. So I don't want to give myself too much credit on that New York Knicks piece, you know.
You knew he was going to be a popular pick, though. You knew.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't try to sprinkle him everywhere. You know, I was a little conservative on that. But, you know, and Paul George was another one, you know, given the needs. Obviously, Paul George has been a hot topic in terms of the Warriors. Sure. You know, that type of thing, which, you know, sidebar real quick. I think the Warriors windows might be closing here. And I think we're trying to salvage something that may not be able to be salvaged, but, you know, we'll see.
I think the reason why they're trying to salvage the Twan is because of what happened last year. You know, there's a lot of issues that came about that kind of derailed their season when they actually had a pretty hot start. You know, you had, Chris Paul who, you know, injured his hand for a period of time. You had Andrew Wiggins going through, you know, whatever he's going through emotionally. It might have been because of Jordan Poole. I don't know. You had Draymond Green suspensions. You know, I think that management feels that that all those three things didn't really happen, they would be probably like a top five, top six seed. And that's probably why they, yeah.
I hear you, Eddie, but to me, you know, this was the second year that Wiggins had gone through something. So yep. What's there to say he's not going to go through some sort of thing again this coming year? Right now, this is now 2 years in a row that he's gone through it. And Draymond's gotten progressively worse. You know, he's getting more and more suspensions, getting more and more kind of out of pocket. You know, so to me, I mean, yeah, if things line up, but, you know, take the average, you know, they're gonna lose some time out of those two players. And I don't know if Paul George, you know, fixes all that. You know, especially if you're going to pay him a 4-year max. You know, that's $55 million. I mean, between him and Steph, we're talking $115 million just between two players.
Yeah. The cap.
Yeah. Goodbye apron, which is something, you know, I wanted to touch on earlier. You know, like, this is really going to be interesting. The Celtics are locked up, you know, for their top six, seven players. They're locked up through next year. And then after that, they're going to have to deal with it. But, you know, Iggy, I wanted your opinion. You know, Denver was one of those squads that are now being impacted by this second apron. You know, they're going to be limited as to what they can do. You know, they got their key players, but, you know, every year they get, Aaron Gordon gets a little older, and things of that nature. So I was curious on, from your perspective, you know, kind of following the Nuggets, what are your thoughts on the CBA? What do you think Denver can do in terms of, like, trading, or what flexibility do you think they have?
I mean, not much. They don't have much availability. Right now, I think their top priority is trying to get KCP back, and I don't think that he is coming back personally to Denver. They recently signed Reggie Jackson on a pretty team-friendly deal, but they're going to have to trust in their draft picks of Christian Braun, Peyton Watson, Julian Stallworth. I mean, I think the fact that Denver got Julian Stallworth so late last year, who was really great, coming out of Gonzaga, I think that kind of shows. He was injured, so I think that those players are going to have to mature for Denver. But Calvin Booth is a great general manager. They'll probably find somebody. I was hoping, maybe one of these centers could come off and provide a second unit help to give Nicola a greater spell, because DeAndre Jordan, great player, great teammate, but I'm not sure he's the great mold right now for what Denver really needs. So I'm looking there for a big man, and the West is interesting, right? I felt like if they would have beat Minnesota, we'd probably watching Denver versus Boston. Boston never beat Denver last year. They were 0-2 against them. Only team Boston didn't beat last year in their epic run. So I think, from a fan perspective, I want that, and I get that the Warriors and you guys want to be there too. I think you got to address the center needs as well. I don't think, PG helps where you guys need to get better. The Spurs are going to be better. Memphis is going to be better. Houston is going to be better. Dallas is probably going to be better. I mean, OKC. I mean, who knows what the Pelicans are going to do?
They're coming out of the woodworks, man.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. They got to go forward.
Devin Carter.
Okay. They took it. So they're taking some defense. I wasn't expecting that, but, they're going to have to do something to replace Harrison Barnes, another all-time great Warrior, all-time great Maverick. But I thought they would go forward, but they went defense, and I guess they're looking at what they're going to have to go through in the West.
Right. I think this is a good pick right here, man. It brings some defensive toughness that they lack for sure. That's something that Sacramento, doesn't really have. They tried to do it in Spurs last year. I mean, Mike Brown was – defensive minded coach, but he brought a lot of the movement motion offense from the Warriors to the Sacramento Kings, and they actually had a pretty good offensive team. They're high scoring, but Twan had covered that their 3-point shooting isn't the most efficient, but they definitely didn't really have really good defensive mindset. They could do it in spurts, so I think this is a change maybe that they need to have this defensive mindset more to be more competitive. It's going to be tough to keep up with the Boston Celtics here for the next couple of years. These teams are all going to try and do exactly what these guys are doing. It's a copycat league, right? That's just what happened with the Warriors when they came out with this, kind of motion offense and defensive-minded guys. And, that's everybody started to replicate that, right? And now, that kind of seems to be waning a little bit. And now, the teams that are defensive-minded that have two, very versatile two-way players, that seems to be the trend that's being set right now. And this guy probably fits that mold.
Yeah, and, you know, with him and Mitchell in the backcourt, that's a hell of a defensive backcourt right there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. You're talking about Davion Mitchell, yeah, from Baylor.
Yeah. Who's got one of my favorite, you know, I like to criticize some of the nicknames we're coming up with nowadays, but he's got Off Night is like a fantastic nickname.
It is a great name. I agree.
Yeah, I think it's just, I love it.
Right. So
yeah, that dude's a pest.
Yeah, no, I hear you. So, so real quick, I know we have some time until Portland comes up, but, you know, I guess I wanted to get your take, Iggy, on the Lakers signing, you know, J.J. Redick. You know, what did you think of that signing? You know, and then Dan Hurley, you know, essentially kind of deciding to go back to call to UConn and not necessarily take that Laker job. What are your thoughts as to why, you know, why that direction was made?
I think, you know, Dan probably got some information on, you know, what kind of player or some personnel that he would not be able to move away from, is my personal opinion. And then that's why he changed it. But, you know, it's easy to come back to UConn where you have everything you want. You got the control. You got the system.
Oh, yeah. He's the king.
So I get why he wouldn't want to leave there. But J.J. Redick, I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, a rookie coach is a rookie coach. And, yeah, you know, he's going to have to go through all the woes. I don't care that he was taught by the great Coach K and all his great basketball experience and his wonderful IQ. You know, I feel like this is going to be almost, you know, the closest thing we've seen to a player head coach scenario we've seen in a long time since Boston. Boston did, I think, the last championship team to do it. I don't think they're good moves. I think the Lakers are in desperation mode, trying to get with LeBron and trying to do something. But once again, it just goes back to how competitive the West is, and I just don't know. I mean, are you going to get this many games from AD and LeBron James again next year? That becomes a real question. So yeah. I don't know. I don't think they're going to be much better than they were last year.
Hey, real quick, before I run to interject, there's a proposed trade that's kind of going down between the Wizards and the Portland Trail Blazers. The Portland Trail Blazers would be giving up Malcolm Brogdon in exchange for Denny Avdia and some draft picks. It looks like it disappeared now, but I don't know if I accurately captured it, but that seems to be what happened. But yeah, no, I hear you, Iggy. It's a risk, you know, to always do a rookie coach thing. I think everybody's trying to replicate kind of the Steve Kerr thing, right? And even kind of the Mark Jackson thing, taking fucking somebody out of the broadcasting booth and have them be successful. You know, it's happened in the past. And I think the thinking is that, J.J. Redick being a Duke, you know, former Duke player as well, kind of learned the ropes from Coach K, and he's a pretty polished guy, he's pretty smart, very, very intelligent. You know, they probably think he's in that mold that he can come in and he's already a friend of LeBron James, but that kind of also create an issue too, right, with the other players, you know, showing some favoritism. I think that's going to be the key for his success, is how he manages and treats LeBron James when he really needs him to do something, you know, that J.J. Redick really needs. That's going to be interesting to see what happens there.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how he's going to balance that. Like I said, I think it's more of LeBron almost being the assistant head coach, if you will, directing things as well. So, you know, LeBron's one of the greatest basketball players of all time, definitely of his era. So I guess to some extent you could give him those abilities, or, you know, give him that if you're Genie Buss. But I don't see how they're going to get past the West. I don't even know that they're going to be the best team in the state. So how do you get past everything else that's coming?
The youth here, you know, Minnesota, like you said, Oklahoma City, you know, Dallas, Houston's on the way up, San Antonio's on the way up. I mean, there's a lot of youth. And, you know, the one thing and Eddie and I were talking about, you know, this recent finals, I was like, once – and Jokic is young, right? So Denver's I would consider Denver a middle-aged team, you know, not a young one, not an old one, right? But they were really all that was left. All the veterans, you know, Durant was watching from home. LeBron was watching from home. Steph was watching from home. All these guys are watching from home, and they were watching, you know, the next generation, Luka and, you know, Ant-Man over there, Anthony Edwards, and, you know, Shai Gilgeous. And it was just, you know, a youth. Oh, by the way, there's a pick in.
Yeah, there's Carlton Carrington in Pittsburgh. Actually, Iggy, you have a question that came in from Linda Vicia. Linda Vicia is on fire today, man. So here's your here's your question. As a sports betting analyst, what type of bets are made on the draft? Where players go, I assume, but what kind of money do those bets make or can make you?
Yeah, there's something like, you know, player to be drafted in the top five, player to be drafted, which I think Donovan was a top five at plus odds. But most of the time it's to pick the exact pick for the team, which I find to be really difficult. But yeah, there's a favorite usually at negative odds, which if you're familiar with betting, negative American standard bet. So plus 100 means you put in 100, you get 100 back. Negative means like if it's negative 150, you'd have to put in $150 to get $100. Now you don't have to place those bets. That's just the measurement of it. And usually you'll have one negative bet player and then the rest will be positive odds. To do that, I kind of stay away from betting on the draft personally because, like I said, predicting the front office and what they have, like, I mean, who would have predicted Bub going right here, not me, so it becomes a more of a gamble. But if you feel good, or maybe you really follow a team and have an insight and they're a top five draft pick and you're like, hey, this is what I think they're going to do, then you have a better chance. But once you get past the 10, 11, 12, I mean, it gets a little shaky. Yeah. I mean, right now we still have what? I mean, we still have Connect available, correct? Right. So, you know, I think that's mainly the last of the top 10 major, players available. But still, who would have projected him to be here available at 15? You know, so it's a gamble, you know, that to sum it up. And I advise to stay away from it. That's my professional advice.
Unless you have some insider information, man, right? To let you know what DMs are thinking and doing. So someone like Adrian Wojnarowski would make millions, but he's probably forbidden to bet on these things because he knows too much.
Absolutely. He's got all the insight.
Right. Buzzer beaters have been on fire, you know. If you have a, you know, I'm a little behind you guys. So like, if you have a really good streaming system and you're like, hey, this player just went, I know for sure they're gonna draft this player because this was, you know, these were the two, you know, players they were talking about getting. You can do that as well. Betting live is always an advantage because the bookies are at the mercy of time and simply odds, you know.
Right. Right. Okay, so Miami Heat are next. So in our pre-draft preview show, we thought they needed more traditional point guard help, you know, because Rozier, DeLon Wright, Tyler Hero, those guys are not for traditional point guard types. You know, some trade targets we thought to fill that void would be Chris Paul, DeJounte Murray, Alex Caruso we thought would be a good pick, Dante DiVincenzo. So right here, to me, this screams Isaiah Collier, in my opinion, coming here at number 15, based on our analysis that we did in the preview show. You know, as far as anybody else that I think could fit, you know, Jared McCain, but I don't, he's more of a shooter, not necessarily a point guard type, but he could play that. Jared McCain at a Duke. So, those are two guys that I think could be coming on here. But then another guy is, that could fit, Dalton Connect. I think he could fit with the Miami Heat. I mean, if anybody, that guy could, right? I mean, he can shoot. He's 6'7". He's a big dude. So
another shooting white boy. You gonna put the tripod?
Yeah, I know. Huh? They're full of them. Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson, and then maybe Dalton Connect. Yeah. So you never know, man. But anyway, those are my calls. What are you guys' thoughts about what the Miami Heat might need?
I was thinking the same thing. Like, how are they gonna pass on Connect here and just get a guy that's all effort, get some wing depth? I mean, if you're looking at other guards, Carrington just went. Jacoby Walter, I don't think that's really what you're looking for. Maybe a pure scorer if you need to add some depth that way. Tyler Kolek out of Marquette, maybe a lot of experience. He's just one, you know. I mean, so if they're going to go there, looking at, you know, a real seasoned player ready to come in and make an impact on that lineup. Because Miami took that loss pretty personal, and Boston's so petty, man. Boston went and partied in Miami. I just think that was such a petty move. But, you know, we'll see how Miami comes back and responds. And they could draft one of these good centers to help Bam. They just gave him a good contract, but maybe they get him some help, you know, where they don't have to wear him out over the next 3 years.
I think that Miami response is going to be highly subject to whether Jimmy Butler's still on that squad or not.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But, you know, I'll tell you this, Iggy, you know, as petty as a move that might have been perceived about Boston party in Miami, I'll tell you one thing. I mean, if me and Twan played, man, we'd be doing the exact same thing, man.
Yeah. I get it, man.
You know, it's like, especially if you're like a, you got, they don't really like each other, those two teams. Because, you know, Miami took out Boston last year, and then Boston got, you know, the revenge this year. I think that's probably why they did it, just to show everybody that, you know, it's their year.
It goes back to the whole Ray Allen thing, right? You know, them taking Ray Allen, and I mean, they've got a little bit of a history there, so.
For sure.
You know, right. And then I'm sure Riley's no Boston fan, having spent time at the Lakers and, you know, that type of thing, so.
Yeah, and New York.
By the way, so we have another question. Linda's on fire, man. So here, where the Mavs a fluke, or can they get back to the finals? If not, what do they need to do to help Luka get back?
Not a fluke. Derek Lively, I follow the Mavs. Derek Lively Jr., they brought in Tyson Chandler, who was on the championship team, to coach him up. They brought in Daniel Gafford to help fill that gap, coach him up how to be a professional. Derek Lively the second is an amazing basketball player. Would have had the finals rebound. Would have led them in the finals and rebounds had he not had such a bad game five. But only his rookie year, plays far from it. I think Luka, Derek Lively, they got something good going right there. I think they should try to go get Dorian Finney-Smith back.
I agree.
You know, I think, you know, that helps them a lot with that three and D. That's all they're missing, really. I don't think they're a fluke, but, man, the West is so tough. And the Olympics.
I was telling Eddie, I was so impressed by Kyrie. You know, I'd been picking on Kyrie for the last 3 or 4 years, just kind of his attitude and everything that's been going on. But this year he really, you know, really stepped up, deferred to Luka, you know, understood his role. And I think he, you know, if he continues that, I think that, you know, he's got a lot of game left in him. And I think that for sure Dallas isn't a fluke. Now, whether they can pick up someone like Smith or, you know, some more perimeter help, someone, you know, they need players that can shoot quickly and accurately, right? Which is kind of something that they were hurting from. So if they can pick up somebody like that, they'll definitely be knocking on the door of the Western Conference Finals again next season.
Yep. By the way, there's a pick that was in.
Center off the board.
It went center.
Yeah, there we go.
Center.
Who was it? Lil Ware?
Lil Ware. Indiana. Lil Ware. 15.9 points, 9.9 rebounds, 1.5 assists. I think he might fit in really well with the ethic there. And, like, Bam doesn't play a whole lot of minutes per game. And they want to try to keep him, you know, he's kind of an undersized center as well. So I think this is a great move for Miami. Help Bam maybe rotating, get some minutes in. And they know what they're getting right here. Almost a double-double guy right here. Those guys don't grow on trees, you know.
Yeah, for sure, man. Good. Right on.
This is a good pickup. This is a very good pickup.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I know that you put, at least I put in mind that I don't think I put as another guy to back up Bam out of bio. So I totally overlooked that. But hey, they need definitely center depth, man, for sure. And this guy looks like he's
they can run him and Bam at the same time.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but Bam at the
four. They're not necessarily competing, right? Bam's undersized. Yeah. He could play a four. You know, so.
Yeah, he can play. I mean, they're getting a 7-footer right here with where. I mean, like I said, Embiid. Then you you got Jared Allen. I mean, the East centers are just not near as competitive as the Western centers. You know, you have so many much better quality center play. I think if they can get somebody to help around the rim, eliminate some of those Boston slashing points by Jaylen Brown and Tatum, get a rim defender like they got right here, they could be trouble. They could develop him quickly. I think it was a good move.
You brought up a name that I was hoping the Warriors could pry from Cleveland, and that's Jared Allen. I really like that guy. I think he'd be a good fit. Like I'd be more excited if they got him instead of Paul George, to be honest with you. But that's what they need.
They need either him or Evan Mobley with it. But I don't think Cleveland would give up Evan Mobley.
Well, I don't think they're going to give up Mobley. I think they view Mobley as the more versatile player. But you know, yeah, I'll take Mobley.
Yeah, me too, man. I would too.
We got another question here from Back to the Stone Age. It wants to know, yo, fellas, you know, Coach Spo is a real man when it comes to his coaching style. Love it. Why doesn't he get more love from the press?
Well, I think he does get a lot of love from the press, honestly. I mean, he's not – I mean, you know, Miami's from the East. You know, we know about the bias from the East. Coach Spo, in my opinion, is highly regarded. By the press. He is,
but one thing I would say is that, you know, the attention is flipped between him and Riley, right? They're kind of the double-headed monster. So, you know, when you know, like, you know, you take, like, you know, the Denver Nuggets, right? Mike Malone gets a lot of the love, you know. You look at the Warriors, Kerr gets a lot of the love. You look less at the GM in those type of cases. But Riley's got – he's such a big name that, you know, you kind of split that. You kind of split that love between two, which is probably a factor there.
Yeah, I mean, and also, you know, way back in the day, I was a Heat fan. I'm talking Tim Hardaway, Lonzo Mourning, Dan Majerle, P.J. Brown, you know, Jamal Mashburn, and Pat Riley was the coach of there. So if you're a true Heat fan, like, you can, you know, Pat Riley's basically been engraved with you since the mid-90s. So it's hard to get away from Pat Riley. But I think I agree with you. Eric gets, he gets the rightful credit he deserves, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I believe so for sure. So
it's probably Haslam. It's probably Haslam's rookie year that year.
Man.
He's been there as long as Riley has.
Yeah, man. That's not a lie. We need a fact check.
Yeah, I don't know what his rookie season was. Oh my goodness! All right,
we have the Philadelphia 76ers next.
Yeah, we got the Sixers here.
So Twan, this was your you covered these guys. So
yeah, let's see what we got here. The Sixers.
I thought Paul George was supposed to be headed there.
That's what I thought too. I heard that too.
Yeah, that's what I had as roster needs. I had two things: wing help, and you better keep Tyrese Maxey. Right now, I mean, they're not going to lose him. Right?
He's
restricted, but you better keep that guy happy. And I did have Paul George, Jimmy Butler as potential trade targets. You know, I had Pascal Siakam. Obviously, he's re-signing, if not already, with Indiana. So that's
he already has. Deal. Yep.
I actually, interestingly enough, one of the guys I had here was Khalil Ware as a potential pick here for them. So that was, and then I got Jared McCain out of Duke, you know, a point guard that they could probably use there. So that those are the two that I had kind of earmarked. What do you guys think? You guys thinking of anybody else on that front?
Well, I mean, Dalton's connect is going to go up somewhere, man. It's like this guy's slipping way too much, man. I mean, seriously, he must not have had a good tryout, man. Because I don't understand why he's slipping that much. He's NBA ready. He's a big dude, man. He's 6'7". He can shoot. He can do a lot of different things. The only thing that's kind of questionable about him is his defensive agility, right?
Like I said, that's been the trend here. Everyone's been poking players that are a little better on the defensive end than.
Yeah, for sure. So, for the Sixers to be back to the prominent Sixers, I mean, we know Joel Embiid has to be healthy. The re-signing of Tyrese Maxey, they need somebody else, though. I don't think Tobias Harris is that third guy. I think he's probably more of a fourth guy. So they think that, you know, James Harden, you know, well, James Harden is the Clippers, but, you know, they need another playmaker, you know, that leaves that void that James Harden left. You know, I mean, Tyrese Maxey is that guy, but they need somebody who also can complement Tyrese Maxey when Tyrese Maxey is on the floor, whether it be from a scoring standpoint or from a facilitator standpoint. And I think that might be the reason why Paul George might be in, you know, the thought about him going to the Sixers might help them out quite a bit. But what are your guys' thoughts?
I think Jimmy Butler is a potential in that area as well. You know, he's, you know, like in terms of, you know, I kind of expressing earlier how I feel about Paul George, one of the Warriors. I think he's a great fit for the Sixers. You know, he's more of that veteran leadership. You know, he'd instantly be kind of the elder statesman on that team. He's good defensively still. He's good offensively. My only concern with a player like Paul George is he going to stay healthy? You know, he had his healthiest season last season in a while, which you can look at it one of two ways. Okay, he's staying healthier, or he just used up his good year, and now you're going to get a bad year, right? Depends on how you look at things like that, right? So,
right.
Yeah, but right. I do think Paul George is a good fit for the Sixers.
Yeah, I agree. Iggy, any tips on that on your end?
Yeah, I agree with Butler. We know we've seen that. I think if there would have been a little more patience, we'd be talking about Philadelphia, how we've kind of talked about Miami, you know, going to two championships in the past 5 years. It didn't work. I think it could work. You know, I think Jimmy Butler's a great teammate, but I think his competitiveness makes him difficult to work with at times. You could probably say the same thing about Chris Paul. You know, I think, I don't know who they're going to get in the draft to help. Tobias Harris is definitely gone. You know, maybe if they could go get like a Lauri Markkanen or something.
That's a good call.
You know, but he, once again, injuries too. So, you know, we'll see how it plays is out, they'll be surprised to go get Tristan Da Silva here. You know, try to just get some more depth on that wing, but could be Kinect as well because I don't know why he's there. I mean, he's already gone about 10 past most of his projections this year, you know, so we'll see how it plays out.
All right, looks like they're about to make a pick here.
We got the pick in. Let's see who they got. Yeah, Jared McCain? Yeah, that's who I had kind of – I had him as one of the two. Khalil Ware, right, Jordan McCain,
You got that one down, man.
Yeah.
Way to go.
Excellent
one. They need shooting, you know.
They do. They for sure do, man. So, let me see, Jared McCain. All right. There we go.
Got a Duke.
Right. Yeah. Who's your college team, Iggy? Who do you have? Is it Colorado Buffaloes?
You know, yeah, actually I like the New Mexico Lobos. I went to college at a smaller school in New Mexico. I'm only 3.5 hours from Albuquerque as well. So, and that's kind of like, you know, it's a big basketball city. Duke City, they don't have professional sports, but, you know, UNM has had some good basketball years. So I've both men and women's. So, you know, I like them. I say that I kind of root for the Lobos, if you will.
Nice.
Right on. Yeah, I haven't really gravitated to a college team per se. I did growing up. I really liked Georgetown growing up a lot. You know, that was during the, you know, the Patrick Ewing days, the Alonzo Mourning, Othello Harrington, Allen Iverson. You know, they were putting out some players back then, man. So that's who I really liked. But, you know, when I got older, I kind of didn't really follow it as much, you know, as much as I'd like to, but I just, you know, NBA became my thing, and, you know, that's how Twan and I, that's kind of our bond is really the NBA, you know, we get to the, that's how we got started on this whole thing is, you know, William and I used to do this, but then he saw that, you know, my knowledge of basketball is pretty high, and he thought, let's find somebody who kind of can, you know, have that back and forth, and that's how Twan and I got to, you know, kind of got hooked up. We were friends for a long time, and we were both big-time NBA fans. So I didn't really get into college as much once I started following the NBA. But I know a lot of people that prefer the college game over the NBA. I just happen to be one of the ones that's vice versa.
Well, plus the Bay Area, it's not a big college town all the way around.
Not.
I mean, yeah, even in Southern California, you got USD, UCLA. You know, you got those squads that have been pretty successful. But in the Bay Area, you know, we've had a couple of years of Berkeley when Jason Kidd was there. You know, we've had some Stanford years when the Lopez
brothers were
there and whatnot. But
what about the Dons, right? The San Francisco Dons.
Yeah.
College basketball teams of all time.
But, that was like negative four.
Bill Russell, Bill Cartwright. But hey, we got a question here. We got a question here from John Galtson. Who has the best shot to win one more championship out of the old guard? King James, Steph Curry, or Kevin Durant? Enjoying the show. Love the dreadlocks.
Nice.
So who has the best shot to win one more championship out of Durant, Curry, and LeBron James?
I don't think any of them do, to be honest with you. I guess if Kevin Durant has the most tradability, I'm not sure LeBron James is going to get traded out of the Lakers. I'm not sure Curry's going to ever be traded from the Warriors. I thought it would have been wise if they got Draymond Green and got Sabonis in return. Mike Brown can get the best out of Draymond Green. You get Sabonis, you get something that the Warriors have never had. I don't know. If you're going to make me pick one of those three, I'll go Kevin Durant simply because he may go title chasing more than LeBron James.
It's a good call, although, you know, LeBron James is coach hunting more than anything else right now. I think so, too. I think Durant.
Don't worry. Bronny's coming. Bronny's coming.
Bronny's coming. Yeah, there's a title there. I agree that because, you know, the Warriors or Steph is tied to the Warriors and the Warriors are tied to Steph, the valuation of the Warriors would just diminish the moment Steph Curry goes elsewhere, right? I mean, they're the highest valued franchise, I think, in the NBA for sure. They might even be for, you know, some other sports, but they're up there. And that Joe Lacob would not stand seeing that guy going to a different team. So no way. But what about you, Twan? What do you think?
Well, I mean, if we're presuming that the teams stay intact where they're at and there's no major shakeups, then yeah, I'd have to go with Durant. I mean, they got Devin Booker. He's a young player. Beal, but you know, they got the furthest in the playoffs, I suppose. You know, which means they didn't get swept, and the Lakers did. You know, so you know whatever that means. But yeah, I'd have to go with Durant. But obviously, it depends on what kind of moves they make. You know, in terms of the future. But the one thing I would say is, you know, out of the three, you know, Steph I think would benefit the most by kind of starting his transition into being the second best player on the squad. You know, not saying that he would be, but I think Durant still has a little bit more in him that, you know, to be the main player. And LeBron, you know, we could argue back and forth. I think mentally, though, I think he's just the leader. He's going to entrench himself, but that's the way he kind of handles himself. So, you know, for whatever that's worth, that's kind of how I view it. But I would agree. It'd have to be Durant given the current situation.
Yeah, I think so, too. So we got another question, follow-up question from John Galton. There was a time when San Francisco College itself was outstanding. Is it still around?
From a basketball
standpoint, it's still around. It's just not as prominent as it was back in the 70s and 80s, right? It's just been a long time since they've been good. But it looks like another pick is in. So
the Lakers.
This is the question, John.
Bronny.
I think they Bronny here. That Bronny. Brutal. Oh, good Lord. Redick's going to come out and go, Bronny.
they showed him all happy. Let's see what they do.
Do they show Bronny all happy?
They connect.
Yeah.
They did.
JJ has something to do with that one, man.
No wonder they were so happy. Yeah, he fell all the way to Los Angeles. Gives them another player. So what they need, they need offense from the forward. So we'll see how it comes in, you know.
But, you know, he seems to be a similar player to Austin Reeves.
But he won't handle the ball as much as Austin Reeves, you know. He won't be on the ball near as much as Austin Reeves will.
He's more of like a spot shooter type more than Austin Reeves. It sounds like.
Yeah. Reeves was able. He really controlled a lot of their offense going down. Especially when D'Angelo Russell hit the swamp, they pretty much quit giving him the ball or letting him control the ball. LeBron was starting to play off the ball more, so it was a great pick. I mean, I can't you know, as much as I don't want to like it. It's a great pick by the Lakers, I think.
Yeah.
No, I agree. They got great value there. I mean, he should have been taken a lot sooner. So they got great value at 17 to get Dalton Knecht.
Correct. Well, the two players that I had earmarked for them at this stage were already taken, which is Khalil Ware and Carlton Carrington Bubb. So those are the two players that I kind of had earmarked, and they're long gone. So.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean. They you know, the Lakers, you know, according to J.J. Redick, are not that far off, right, from being a contender. And, you know, before the season started, I had that same mindset. I thought the Lakers were actually a threat big time. I actually picked them before the season started to be the number two seed before the season started. And, of course, it didn't work out that way. You know, even though, you know, both Anthony Davis and LeBron James had decent seasons, I just thought that their depth was pretty good. And for whatever reason, it just didn't really mesh. And I think that's part of the reason why they parted ways with Darvin Ham, because they probably felt that they had enough talent to do something, you know, in the West, but it just fell short. And now JJ Redick coming in, you know, his press conference, he was pretty high. Of course, he's going to say that with his boss right there in front of the press. But I also agree with JJ Redick that I don't think that the Lakers are that far off. They're maybe two players away from being a serious threat, in my opinion.
Well, the thing I struggle with, though, Eddie, is I agree that they're not a bad squad, but there's just a lot of better squads. Right? That's kind of the way that I look at it. I mean, can you see, first of all, they got to learn how to get past Denver, which they haven't figured out.
Yep.
And then there's teams like Minnesota or, you know, like we mentioned earlier, Oklahoma City. I mean, do you really think the Lakers could beat those teams?
Well, you know, they didn't have Jared Vanderbilt for a lot of the year, right? And he's a big-time defensive kind of player, and I think he really helps them a lot when he's in playing. So you have Jared Vanderbilt, you have LeBron James, you have D'Angelo Russell, You have Anthony Davis. You have Austin Reeves. I mean, those guys right there are pretty damn good. You know, but as far as, you know, the shooting is where they really lack. D'Angelo Russell's a streaky shooter. They need more shooting. Maybe they think that Dalton Connect can kind of help them. Austin Reeves is a decent shooter too, but they're just streaky, right? That's what I'm saying is like, I think they probably need just maybe one to two players rotational depth. In my opinion, like an Alex Caruso would have been perfect for this team, honestly. You know, someone like that would have been perfect. But, you know, and LeBron loves Alex Caruso. I just, like I said, I just think they have enough talent. I mean, two Hall of Fame players on one team, you know, maybe like a Chris Paul might help them you know, kind of unleash a lot of that. But like I said, they're only really one or two players away because I think they have a lot of depth. You know, they're just aging right now. So, you know, that's why I believe what I believe.
Well, aging, and Anthony Davis obviously gets hurt quite a bit.
Yeah, so he gets hurt quite a bit.
That's a hard thing to calculate, right? How much what his availability is going to be for the rest of his career.
Yep. All right, so we got Orlando Magic on the clock.
They need a guard in the worst way. They need a
And that's what we said in our pre-draft show about the Orlando Magic, that they need a point guard. They also need a lot more veteran depth with playoff experience. So, pick is in. So I was gonna say Isaiah Collier here.
That Collier's my call too. Maybe Tristan Da Silva, 6'8".
Tristan Da Silva.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, just a great defensive guy, built like how they have a lot of their team built. One of the best rebounding teams in the NBA last year. They got another great rebounder from Colorado, Tristan Da Silva, 6'8". Going to, you know, play the forward position, give a lot of grief to Tatum and Brown and Jimmy Butler and, you know, any other great forwards in the Eastern Conference, you know.
Yeah, this guy's a good player, man. This guy's a good pickup. He showed out in the tournament, man. I thought he played pretty well in the tournament, man. Because I didn't know much about this guy at all. I don't, you know, the only times I really watched college is when the March Madness, but even leading up to the March Madness, you know, the conference championship kind of things. That's when I really started watching it. So, but yeah, I saw this guy play and I'm like, man, this guy is good. So yeah, good pick on that one for sure.
Hey, Iggy, since you track sports betting a little, how's the WNBA been sparked up in that arena with Caitlin Clark? And do you track that, or do you have insight into that?
You know, my main sports are the NFL and the NBA. I track those throughout the year, place bets every day that they're in action, essentially. The WNBA I try to track because they're offering a lot of boosts because of Caitlin Clark. So, you know, they're offering boosts. They're offering a lot of, like, you know, do a same game parlay boost on the WNBA. I personally haven't stayed away. I've stayed away. I've been disciplined. I've bet on like four or five of those boosts probably throughout the year. But I've noticed that they, like in the promo section, which usually comes up in the first of all your sports books, you'll see it. And it's usually a WNBA is one of the first ones or second ones. So I think that, you know, that market, that, you know, the sports books are capitalizing in a little different way than the WNBA off of Caitlin Clark and what's going on over there. Yeah. And, there's definitely been more attention.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's amazing what she's doing for the sport. It's amazing. I mean, like, I watched my first game last weekend, and I never even sniffed the WNBA.
Yeah.
But my brother-in-law was in town, and he's been kind of tracking Caitlin Clark, and he was going up against was it Angel Reeves, I think her name is?
Yeah.
And, you know, they have kind of like some history. So he was kind of making comparisons that this was kind of like similar to the Magic and Bird, you know, back in the 80s, that kind of revitalized the NBA. And he's saying the same thing is happening here with, you know, the WNBA, with these two players kind of revitalizing the WNBA. So
interesting. Yeah, no, I agree. People forget, you know, prior to Magic and Bird, I mean, you know, those years earlier, the NBA was really backseat. You know, there was some championship games that were on tape delay. You know, you're watching them 11 o'clock at night, you know.
Championship games.
Championship games. Yeah, this isn't even like, you know, a Monday nighter type of deal. So, yeah, it has a lot of remnants of Magic and Bird.
So we got Linda. Linda, hey, Linda's winning the prize for the questions, man.
Yes,
so
yes.
Linda, WNBA. Now that's my league. Loving me some Caitlin Clark, but those women play rougher than the men. What are your thoughts on her distance in 3-point shooting?
I mean, you guys are Warriors fans, but I'll just say real quick, a lot of people tried to replicate what Steph Curry and Klay Thompson did with Mark Jackson, how they built that team. And the truth is, people are finding out that's very difficult to find on a consistent night-in and night-out basis. I don't care who your backcourt is, they're not going to be Klay Thompson and Stephen Curry. And Caitlin Clark is that, in my opinion, a little bit 2.0, like, there's fantastic, you know, scores in the WNBA. But Caitlin Clark has just the range and the depth and the consistency to validate taking 9, 10, 11, 3-point field goal attempts in a game. You know, right. you would be in trouble for that if you're not good. But yeah. She's kind of brought that element to it. And it's the consistency. That's what made Curry and Thompson so special and is what's making Caitlin Clark so special. And I think the WNBA, it does get a lot of physicality. I remember watching Cheryl Swoops. You know, one of the greatest athletes of all time, came in, dominated with the Houston Comets, dominated throughout her whole career. So I think that these are kind of like the biggest stars since that inaugural class of Rebecca Lobo, Cheryl Swoops, Lisa, I can't think of her last name that played for the Sparks.
Lisa Leslie.
And I think that's where we're at. We're getting that from the WNBA.
Right on. So we got another question, but we've already touched upon it. But John Galson asked about the Lakers. So you may have already discussed this already, but with Redick as the new coach for the Lakers, does that mean LeBron's going to stick around? I ask because it seems as if the team really isn't a contender for a championship. And I had already talked about why I thought they might be, but I don't think LeBron's going to go anywhere, man. I think he had a big say in Redick being hired, in my opinion, after – you know, the Hurley thing kind of just, you know, fell on the wayside. So that's my opinion. And I already gave my thoughts as to why.
I don't think he's going anywhere. I think it goes beyond Redick, right? I think, you know, he's kind of, you know, in terms of that cross between fame and basketball, you know, he's in the right city to do that. You know, he's got a lot of advertising that he does. He's got a lot of, I know that he's got some feels into the movie industry and things of that nature. So for a lot of those reasons, I think he's going to, unless the Lakers completely ignore him or, you know, make him feel like he's not wanted. I don't think he's going, even if they would have stuck with Hurley, if Hurley would have taken the job, you know, presuming that that's who the Lakers wanted and maybe LeBron didn't, I don't think he's going anywhere.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, especially if tomorrow night they draft Bronny, then, for sure. I mean, I know we're making a joke of it, but I think he'll stay. You know.
I
just joke with my Lakers friends. The only place he would go is the LA Clippers, and that usually gets them going. They never go to the Clippers, you know. So we'll see.
So let me ask you this, Iggy. Do you think that where Bronny James goes is going to have a bearing on where LeBron James goes?
Not this year. Because I think that the Lakers truly do believe that they're close to it. And maybe, you know, it's all about matchups, you know. If Denver wouldn't have lost that 15-point blowout to the San Antonio Spurs, they're the number one seed. They don't have to play Minnesota until maybe the Western Conference Finals, if at all. And for the flip side of that, the Lakers, you know, I thought they did the right moves. You got to come out and say, we can beat any team, anywhere. And they played the Denver Nuggets so close. As somebody that's watched all those games, I mean, some instant classics in those series, those 9 games that they've had in the playoffs. Really, they've had, you know, 14 if you go back to the 2020 Western Conference Finals as well. I don't think it has a bearing. Maybe his last year, he's like, you know what, just don't want to let me go play with my son somewhere, you know. But I think they still believe they can do it. And maybe they can. You know, the West is wide open. It's not wide open, but there's a lot of teams that can compete for it, you know.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's another pick is in.
Yeah, the pick's coming in. Jacoby Walter.
Yeah. About time, probably. They're going to have to build around Scottie Barnes. You know, that's what Toronto's going to have to do. I mean, he's a phenomenal. There was a time I bet on Scottie Barnes. I think we hit 15 bets in a row on him. He's by far one of my favorite players. You know, I played fantasy basketball for 9 years as well. So I've just been on Scottie Barnes. He's a relatively unknown name. And I think they're doing the right job. I believe in what Toronto's trying to do up there. And they're going to need some big man help, but this is the right move. Get Scottie Barnes. Now you have two versatile wing players with Walter and Scottie Barnes.
And, Twan, I got to give it up to you, man. You actually had Jacoby Walter as somebody that they should pick. It was between him or Eves Missy of Baylor. So, good job, man. You got a couple of them right, man. So,
even a broken clock, Eddie. Even a broken clock.
But you have more than two. So, all right. So we got the Cleveland Cavaliers on the clock.
Correct.
And so I think this was another one that you covered, Twan. Maybe you can just talk about that.
Yeah, let's see. In terms of roster needs, so one of the things, you know, I've been hearing, and I'm sure that it's been talked about here, is, you know, deciding between Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland. I think they're not a good fit together in the backcourt, so my bet would be that they stick with Spider Mitchell, but, you know, that's something they need to square away. They need size in the backcourt and on the wings. You know, both Garland and Mitchell are undersized guards, or smaller guards, I should say. And so, you know, someone that's a little bit taller here. I had Tristan Da Silva, who just was taken a couple of picks earlier. And then I have Tyler Smith, who I believe is still on the board. He's more of a power forward, obviously a little different than a backcourt guy. But, you know, that's someone else that I had coming out of the Ignite, the G League. He's had some comparisons to Channing Frye. So that I guess that's who I would have to stick with here at this point.
All right. I like it. So you said Tyler Smith, right?
Tyler Smith, yeah.
All right. So, yeah, based on what you're saying, size in the backcourt, size at the wings, let's see. Is there anybody that's – so size of the backcourt, yeah, that wouldn't be Missy. What about Collier? Isaiah Collier.
6'3".
Not much size.
He's a big dude, though. He's like kind of husky, man. He's like pretty strong looking dude.
205. So, yeah, he's bigger than a lot of people that are taller than him. I don't know. Is Tyler Smith still on the board? I mean,
Tyler Smith is on the, he's on the board. That's who Twan picked. That's who he thinks is going to get picked. And I'm saying, you know, based on what he's saying as far as roster needs, I'm saying like maybe an Isaiah Collier might be somebody they might be looking at as well. It might be in between those two.
Yeah. Man, yeah, it's tough. I mean,
who's the better player between those two, right? It just comes down to, you know, I think Tyler Smith is probably considered a better prospect at this time. But, you know, we've seen, you know, Zach Edey being drafted like 20 positions higher than everybody anticipated, so you never know.
Tyler, Ryan Dunn, I don't know if they need a forward, but we're getting to about where he should be looked at, I believe. You know, Virginia coming from a good program, I think there's some potential there for somebody that might want him.
Okay, Ryan Dunn, all right.
Yeah, I think Tyler Smith has some good upside as a 3-and-D guy, so I think, you know, I mentioned both backcourt and wings, and I think he could definitely fit the wing part of the needs.
Make his in.
Man, they're moving pretty quick, man. I'm surprised, actually.
Yeah.
Like, well, even with a lot of time left, they're doing it. So maybe guys.
Iggy, any thoughts on them making this a 2-day event now as opposed to a 1-day since we've had in the past?
I get it. I think the NBA is doing a great job of catching up to the NFL and making their offseason exciting. Keeping their fan bases tuned in throughout the year. And I understand it from an economic standpoint why they do it. I prefer to have it 1 day, you know, get it through there, let a lot of families kind of come and enjoy that, you know, situation, get the whole atmosphere there. But, you know, I understand what they're doing. And, you know, I love the NBA. So anytime I can get more days out of some NBA coverage, I'm all for it.
Good call. Yeah, and if this whole thing with Caitlin Clark and WNBA takes off, I mean, you're going to have basketball, you know, the whole summer league. You know, this year in particular, we got the Olympics. Then, you know, you got the WNBA sprinkled throughout the summer. I mean, it's really going to be, you know, an NBA or a subsidiary of the NBA throughout the whole year.
Yeah, they're doing it. I mean, what is $7 billion industry? So, you know, they're doing something right. I'm just asking for my little slice of the pie, you know.
A little crumb.
Give the crumbs over here. Crush it. Take it.
Half a percent.
Man. We'll make it happen.
Don't hold your breath.
I know that we, the next guy on the clock after the Cavaliers, because we already have our predictions of who we think they're going to pick. But one of the teams that we did not cover in a pre-draft show was the New Orleans Pelicans. So that was one of my teams, Quan. They're after the Cavs, so I'm going to go ahead and start going through the analysis on them. So they finished 49-33. They finished as the eighth seed. They lost in the play-in game against the Lakers and beat Sac for the eighth seed. As far as roster needs, the team is close. The team is close. Health is really their main need. But in my opinion, I think they need a pass-first point guard. McCollum's listed as their point guard. He's more of a shooter, although he's gotten to be a better distributor. But I think a point guard is sorely needed by that team. I also think they need a stretch four or a stretch five. I mean, they have, you know, Zion Williamson and Jonas Valanciunas. You know, they're both more kind of traditional low-post guys, although Zion has shown that he's a drive-to-bucket guy, but not necessarily a shooter. And Jonas is not really a shooter, but he can do it from time to time. So I'm saying a stretch four, stretch five might be a good fit for him. And then, like a lot of these teams that are up-and-coming, rotational pieces, just veteran rotational pieces, I think would be a good fit for them. So as far as who they should pick here at the 21st, I'm going to go ahead and say it should be Kyle Filipowski. It kind of fits that mold of having a four or a five that can shoot, and he can do that, right? He's not initially a guy that's known for it, but he can do it. He's a solid big. He shoots 35% three-point percentage, uses his size as a strength. You know, he's definitely has the same kind of talent from a low-post standpoint against some of the smaller guys like Donovan Klingon has. So Kyle Filipowski is my thought of who they should go ahead and pick at 2021. Right. And then as far they're about to make a pick now, huh?
Yeah, they're about to pick.
All right. So I was just missing you runs out that. So I'm saying it's going to be Isaiah Collier.
Jalen Tyson.
California 6'2".
Oh, Jalen Tyson. Yeah, the guy from Cal. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
6'5", 218, junior.
All right. Beefing up the front court, I guess, maybe in anticipation of Allen or Mobley going. Do you think Brandon Ingram, getting back to the Pelicans, do you think that Brandon Ingram's going to be there next year?
You know what? I don't think so. I think Brandon Ingram's going to be traded in the off, you know, right after this draft or maybe even during this draft. I think he's definitely somebody that would become a big contributor to another team. I don't think, you know, I think they expected a lot more from him here. And I think that they're trying to find, you know, that maybe he's not the right fit for this team. They have what they need. And, you know, Zion Williamson, as long as he's, you know, healthy, he's definitely a force. You know, and then C.J. McCollum, I think, is a good pick. But the guy that I think has emerged is Trey Murphy. In my opinion, who has emerged on that team. So, but I think, you know, traditional point guard type is what they need. And I think they could probably shop, you know, Brandon Ingram to get somebody like that. Maybe, you know, go ahead and do a trade with for Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell might be a good fit for him.
I'm curious what his current value is. Ingram, I think his value is just stock dropped. In the playoffs, he was kind of the odd man out
I don't understand why. You know, is it maybe because he just doesn't have that leadership quality that I think that maybe they were hoping he would have? I don't know. I just don't. You know, he's a good player. You know, he does a lot of things decently. He can shoot. You know, he's a matchup problem for most, you know, defenders. You know, because of his length, he's kind of like a Kevin Durant, you know, poor man's Kevin Durant. You know, he's kind of always been compared to him because of this skill set, similar skill set. But for whatever reason, he's just not emerged to be that guy that I think that management hoped that he would become.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Just not a good fit. I don't know. New Orleans is they're another good Western team. You know, they're just right there. Jonas Valanciunas can't do it. Of course, Zion getting hurt maybe changed that, you know, that play-in game. But yep. That's just Zion in a nutshell. I was way more interested in Ja Morant than I was Zion Williamson when they both came out together. But Zion still has that potential. He goes to his left hand every time. They still can't stop it.
They still can't stop him. He's so explosive.
Yeah, that left hand just spin to it. I think without Brandon Ingram, he'd actually do better. But he does need a center, I think. But like you said, CJ McCollum, they paid him so much money, and I don't think he's the best guard to be in there. There's a proposed trade to Minnesota, it looks like. I don't have the details on that, so if you guys see that, let me know. But New Orleans is so interesting to me. The Smoothie King Center is a great basketball arena. I don't know if they're going to improve. I don't know if they take a step back. It's really difficult for me to predict.
Yeah, no, I hear you, man. I hear you.
There was hold on here. Is this an actual trade? Wolves and Spurs. Oh. Rob Dillingham traded. Let's see here. Rob Dillingham's going to Minnesota.
Ooh.
Who is?
They're trading their 2031 unprotected first round pick and their 2030 pick swap to the Spurs for Dillingham.
That far in advance?
That's pretty far in advance, but
that's like 4 years from now, man. 4 or 5 years
yes,
from now.
Yes, it is.
Wow, there must be another deal in the works, man, if they're doing that.
Here comes the New Orleans pick. And Yves Missy.
Oh, this is – okay. This is the guy that you thought
was going to go a pick before.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I got it. 10.7 points per game, 5.6 rebounds. Only 20 years old, coming from Baylor, not too far. So we'll see how it pans out. They needed this. They needed it. So they're going to have to develop him, though. I mean, he's only 20. They're going to have to develop him.
Yeah, the big guys always take some time now. If he's got this size, he's 7'2", 230. He could be a serious threat, you know, but the thing is, he's more of a traditional guy, you know, traditional center. I don't know much about his shooting capabilities, but, you know, I guess right now the Rudy Gobert's of the world, you know, they have a role in the NBA, right? And Rudy Gobert is not a shooter, right? We all know that. He's more of a defensive presence, you know, kind of a versatile kind of defensive guy. Maybe they can mold this guy to be in that mold, you know, a Rudy Gobert-like type of player. So, that's the Pelicans. Okay, so that – I thought they would pick Kyle Filipowski. I guess not. They at least filled the position that I thought would be, you know, a kind of a stretch four, stretch five, although I don't know about Missy's outside shooting game.
Yep, and just because they're not in the draft at all, the Brooklyn Nets are Nick Claxton, $100 million deal, 4 years.
Oh.
Wow.
And I thought that guy would be a good pick for a lot of teams, especially if he's going to be, you know, available for, you know, not re-signed. But now they're re-signing him, so that's good.
Yeah, I guess they're not in a total rebuild,
Yeah,
I mean. Average cost for a center, too. Centers are about $20, $22 million, so $25 million, Nick Claxton. He's a double-double guy. I like it.
But they got, like, 6 draft picks now to work with from the freaking Knicks.
Yeah. You know,
that's crazy. I've never seen it. I mean, unbelievable how many picks the Knicks gave up to get Mikal Bridges from the Brooklyn Nets. It's crazy. So
Villanova reunion. Yeah.
Yeah, the Nova Knicks. Yeah, 2.0, I guess, you know? Shoot. all right. So let's see. So who do we have? We have Kyle Filipowski, who has slipped. We have seen also Jeremy Cain was already picked, right? So
another trade, Eddie, if you're interested as well.
Okay, go for it.
Denny Adija to the Lakers.
We talked about one. Denny Avdija.
Yeah. Washington's center or former.
Okay, we talked about that one. All right, I must have missed it. Okay.
I talked about that earlier. Like there were some draft picks.
We're getting Brogdon and the number 14 draft pick.
So who's the guy?
They're getting Carrington, Washington's getting Carrington. They're getting the 14th pick and Brogdon.
Oh, and Malcolm Brogdon, right. That's Portland. Yeah, I was with Portland. Yep. So we've had we've had two trades right now?
Two trades, yep. The Spurs trade and the Trailblazers trade.
Okay.
Or the Spurs and Minnesota trade and the Trailblazers and I almost said Bullets. Wizards.
I mean, Phoenix has their pick in, but New York has back-to-back picks. It doesn't look like they're going to be able to get Isaiah Hartenstein back. OG Anunoby, I don't know if they're – so I wouldn't be surprised if they go center-center. Just boom, boom. Just try to get – I mean, because I still have – you know, we just talked about Flipkowski still available. Deron Holmes still available. And a surprise pick for me, Nafali Deontay out of Oregon. Just, man, looks so good down the stretch for Oregon. I think he could be a surprise center, too. We'll see how it works out.
All right.
I think they're going to have to take one of those guys.
So, hey, you got another question? Iggy, you got another question from John Galtson. Iggy, you made some great comments on the WNBA. Why don't the Fever have an enforcer to protect their star player?
I don't know if the WNBA has goons like the NHL does, but I don't know. I've seen people go over there, like the media is like, oh, they just smile when she gets hurt. That's not the case. I've seen teammates go over there and help her up and stick up for her. Which you should do. Like, it doesn't matter. If you've been part of a team, you know that you don't like every personality or every person on your team. I don't even care if it's, like, basketball or, it's football. Like, you're going to run into different personalities. But in a competitive moment, that's always your teammate, And it should always be them against us. So I think they'll get there. I think that, they're not going to continue that.
There's a lot of jealousy with Caitlin Clark, man. I mean, even I think her own teammates may have some of that. She's essentially become kind of like the savior of the freaking, league. Kind of like we already made the comparison with Magic Johnson and Larry Bird, right? And I think there's a lot of jealousy there, right? Just all the notoriety she's getting. And I thought was really classy by Dawn Staley when they won the championship. When she went up there and said what she said about Caitlin Clark, giving her kudos, what you're doing for the sport and kind of bringing a lot more eyes to it. The whole WNBA is thanking you for that. And I think a lot of people, a lot of the players, a lot of people who've established themselves in the WNBA for a period of time and didn't have – maybe they think their game is almost as good that they don't get the same notoriety. I think you're getting a lot of jealousy. That's, I think, what's going on a little bit.
Well, at the risk of being controversial, I'm not saying it is or isn't, but I wonder if race plays a role and if sexual identity plays a role in this as well.
I agree. And that's something that Guillermo del Pilar has on one of his podcasts for Gremlin Media about that particular topic, about the topic. Is it race? Is it sexism? That kind of thing, orientation. Yeah. Sexual orientation, that kind of
thing. Sexual orientation, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so, because I, if I'm not mistaken, I don't think she was picked for the women's Olympic squad, which seems a little odd to me.
Right. Yeah, the NBA didn't waste Magic and Larry. I just don't think that was a good move. Like, they could have had more viewership. They could have retained their audience throughout the break. I just think that was a bad business move, honestly.
I agree, and so it's hard to understand the core reasons why that decision was made.
Yep. So, here's another proposed trade. So, Suns receive all picks. It's all picks. Involving your Nuggets too. Iggy.
Yep. Nuggets. So the Nuggets are going to go right here. Hey, Iggy, your Nuggets are going to pick right now.
22. I'm wondering who they like. Is it Kyle Flipowski?
No.
Deron Holmes, the second.
Yeah, Deron Holmes. I told you, one of the two centers. Yeah, 20.4 points per game, 8.5 rebounds. He had 2.6 assists on the year. I mean, yeah, I love this pick. I hate trading with our rival, but, it is what it is. And we got Deron Holmes out of Dayton. He was one of my big men I highlighted. I love it. I absolutely love it. And
I know. I mean, given how taxing Jokic was playing, out of breath, this is a good. And so Deion, there's another guy who's going to be on the market, right? DeAndre Jordan is going to be on the market. That would be on him. I don't know who's going to want him, but
let me ask you this: why did you have this guy targeted? What was it about his game that you thought would be a good complement to the Denver Nuggets?
I just, you know, like I said, you just can't find 20 rebounds, 8.5 assists, or 8.5 rebounds. Like, you know, you look at that, there you're seeing some of his stats, one or two players with 65 blocks, 65 dunks, and 65 assists, other being Zach Edey. So, you know, get Aaron Gordon some spill too. Get that dunker position. Get Holmes in there and let Jokic find him. I think he's got a great basketball IQ. People might knock him for playing at Dayton, but Dayton's got a pretty good college basketball program over the past couple years. So I am absolutely thrilled at this move. I didn't see what all we gave up. Looks like our 28th pick, our second round pick later, and somebody else. I couldn't tell what it was.
Yeah, let me try and get some details on it.
Yeah, it was
all
picks.
Yeah, and I love it. 2.1 blocks per game, getting some, you know, getting the defenders around the rim, you know, stop some of the slashing that's going on in the NBA. I think it is an absolutely fabulous pick. Pairing with Peyton Watson, we got an excellent backcourt for the second unit now. I think it is a wonderful, wonderful move.
Right on, man.
And again, just reinforcing teams that are at the cap, you know, these are the moves they need to make.
You know,
they need to try to get stronger through the draft because they really don't have any other choice.
For sure. For sure.
I'm still not seeing anything here on
I think the Nuggets gave up both of their picks for this draft. Looks like they have value. Like the guy I highlighted, I think he fits right into coach's team, be able to play right there with Christian Braun, Peyton Watson, and Julian Stallworth and create a good second unit. I think that's the plan.
Yeah. Right on. So, all right. So we have on the clock now, we have the Milwaukee Bucks. And, Tuan, I think this was one of your guys that you discussed on your pre-draft.
No, not me.
It wasn't? Okay, let's see. Oh, yeah. You know what it is? I know what it is. We missed the spot in our pre-draft. We didn't have Milwaukee having this pick.
Okay.
But what I do want to kind of highlight is that they need another scorer to help out Giannis. I mean, they have Damian Lillard, and they have a Middleton, but I think they need, you know, Middleton isn't really someone that you can count on because he's injury prone, right? So I think they just need a younger scoring a threat, in my opinion. So they're very good defensively already as a team, but to me they looked a little slow in the playoffs. And it might have been just because Giannis wasn't playing. I mean, Giannis does speed up that team, right? But as far as, you know, who could help them out from that, they need a scorer. So, you know, as far as scoring people that are in this draft, I mean, you know, we have a lot of those scores have already been off the clock. I mean, they're off the board right now. You know, so, you know, you have, you know, Tyler Smith.
The guy that I was thinking that should have went to the Pelicans.
Yeah, so Kyler, and then, you know, yeah, Kyler Smith is out there. You have, you know, Isaiah Collier, but, you know, they already have Damian Lillard. So maybe, like, a Tyler Smith might be the best kind of pick for them right now. Ryan Dunn is another one you brought up big as well.
Yeah, I like Ryan Dunn right here.
John Furphy, you know, is another guy that.
Oh, yeah, Furphy's still out there, yep.
Yeah, so, I mean, these are guys that, you know, they need some scoring help. And so as far as, you know, trade targets, you know, I don't think we're going to see. They already made a trade, but if they were going to make another trade, you know, someone like a DeMar DeRozan, D'Angelo Russell, you know, someone to kind of help, you know, from the scoring threat, Paul George. Yeah. You know, Kevin Durant would fit for anybody, right? So,
there's this guy out of Sweden, Bobby Klintman.
Oh, yeah, Bobby Clinton.
Yeah, Klintman. Yeah. So, yep, 6'8", forward. He might be someone.
I think they still got a lot of good options here to help bolster their you know, either their perimeter defense. You know, they've locked into Lopez. They're locked into Giannis. They're locked into Lillard. So, they're going to have to see, you know, how it goes here, you know, trying to get health. I think their biggest thing is health. I mean, Giannis and Middleton, you know, going down. I think it was not smart to get rid of Holiday, as we've all, you know,
we all know that. Wherever he goes, he wins championships, it seems like.
That's just, you know? That was not good.
Yep. Yeah, bad front office execution, like I talked about, part of anything. The general public, like, you know, sports general management, like on a higher pedestal, and somebody that's had multiple jobs and varied jobs with all kinds of management, good and bad across all forms of business, including in the NBA. So you're going to run into it sometimes.
Yeah.
So after the Bucks, we have the back-to-back picks by the Knicks.
The Knicks, yep.
And, you know, given what the Knicks just gave away as far as draft picks, they're going to – I mean, these might be the last two draft picks they see for a while, man, right here.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah. And what's funny is I had Zach Edey here potentially as a pick for the Knicks on the 25th pick, not even the 24th one. And I had Jalen Tyson. Both are gone.
Yep.
But the
you had Furphy, though. You had Furphy is one that they might be
correct
targeting.
And done.
That's why Denver jumped ahead of him, because I told you the Knicks are going to have to take a center. And like I discussed, you got Kyle Filipowski, you had Deron Holmes, and unless you believe Deontay, like I said, the last big man. And that's why Denver jumped ahead, gave up the draft picks to secure a big man, held Nikola Jokic, give him some, you know, some rested minutes, which is we're going to need. So. Yep.
All right, here we are.
So,
AJ Johnson.
AJ Johnson. I don't think I have him on my list. So we have no picture for AJ Johnson.
Yep, he is
China.
Combo guard, 6'4", 19 and a half years old. 6'8 wingspan, 167 pounds. Boy, these stats, they're a little rough. Average 2.9 points, shot 27.8 from 3-point, average 1.2 rebounds.
United States? Is he coming out of high school or what's going
on? He's coming from Illawarra, the NBL.
Okay.
This is the first one that we don't have covered on any of our pre-draft shows, nor do we have him even on our list for today's show. So this is the first one that, that was a serious pull.
They're comparing him to Nick Young.
Oh, Swaggy P.
Yeah.
And I hope that means his game and not just like the way he tattles on people in the locker room.
Exactly. Where is Iggy Azalea nowadays?
Right.
It's just another, major surprise here by Milwaukee. I guess he's in Doc Rivers, I trust. We'll see what's going on here. 167 pounds, good Lord. I mean, he's going to be backed down by every single guard and forward in the league. I don't understand it.
This is questionable here.
Yeah, I don't like it, but give him a chance. I don't not like the player. I just don't like the move. I honestly don't know much about AJ Johnson to me.
Critiquing him because we didn't know anything about Nikola Jokic when he got drafted. We had no idea, and look what happened. That's right. True. So same with Tony Parker. Same with Manu Ginobili. We had no idea. So you never know. Some of these guys could just work out.
But the one thing we did know, Eddie, is he weighed more than 167 pounds.
The last time I weighed 167 pounds, dude, I was in third grade, bro.
I was about to say, I was in middle school, fifth grade, sixth grade, maybe for me, too.
I believe you. And was shaving in the sixth grade, weighing 180.
Dude, I'm telling you, I was a big boy, dude. And it looks like you're a pretty big boy, too. What's your stature, man?
I'm only 6 foot, but in high school, I weighed 225 while I was playing football. When I went to play internationally, I was weighing about 235, pretty big at certain times. But, I was big. My waist size is the same since I've been in seventh grade. So they called me Husky. Husky, I think, called us.
We had a similar build.
You grew into your waist size. That's what it was.
Yeah. We had a similar build. Although now Iggy, back in, maybe like 10 years ago, I was lifting weights like pretty heavily, and I was, I'm about 5'11" ish, similar height to you. But at the time, at my peak for, you know, weightlifting, I was like 275. That was really, man, kind of on that frame. That's a lot, man. Right?
That's a lot. So, yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah. So now back to where you were at when you were in high school, because you said you were like 225, and then you played 235. You know, when you went, you know, played internationally. I'm 225, 230 right now. So lost a lot of weight from my weightlifting days. So we're similar size, man.
Yeah, that's true, man. Right now I'm probably about 205, 200, depending on.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah. So we're all similar size here. The Latinos, man, we like our tortillas and beans and stuff, you know.
It's on the way, right? Yeah, we just saw the family. It's like everywhere I went, it was like tamales or carnitas or something, man. So yeah, I think I'm probably over 205 right now.
Yeah, it depends on what we eat the night before, man. Yeah, totally, man. So, all right, man. So
the Knicks.
Yeah, so let's see.
I got Furphy or Dunn here. So the Knicks are going back to back. So if they're gonna take a stretch at a big guy, they're probably gonna do it in the 25th pick. I would think. You know, give them some more time to figure out who they want. So I'll stick with. Has Dunn been taken? I don't think Dunn's been taken.
No, Dunn's on board.
But you know who else hasn't been taken yet? It's Tyler Kolick.
Yeah, from Marquette, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's somewhere right around this level that he could be drafted. Another guy is, we have a Jaron Holmes. We already saw that he got drafted.
Flipkowski. It's got to be one of their picks, this Flipkowski, I think.
I had, like I said, mentioned earlier, I had Edie and Jalen Tyson here, but both long gone. Edie's long, long gone.
So, hey, Twan, you know, I'm going to tell you that I think you covered the Denver Nuggets, and you actually had Jaron Holmes as the guy that they should target.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, it's more like I said.
I had him at the 28th pick, but yeah.
Yeah.
What's interesting thing, I think taking Edie as high as he went, I think that threw off everyone in terms of that was looking for a big man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they needed it. DeAndre Jordan, Jeff Green, the loss of him was pretty hard to take, so we'll see there. I do think an interesting pick, maybe if they just want to get some size, reliable guy, Baylor Schreimerman out of Creighton, 6'6", you know, good forward play. You know, I don't know if they're going to play Hart and Bridges, if they're going to play those guys 48 minutes every game like Tom Thibodeau likes to do, but I think that's a great, great bench piece, Baylor Schreimerman from Creighton as well.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, when I saw what that guy did in college, I mean, like, I was, like, very impressed with his resume. I mean, that guy, I think he was, like, a five-year player, but, like, he had, like, 2,000 points, like, 500 three-pointers, I don't know how many. I'm trying to find out where I put it. Oh, here it is. It was 2,000 points, 1,000 rebounds, 500 assists, and 300 three-pointers in the college career. And he's the only player in Division I history to be able to do that.
I mean, that's saying something. I mean, and they need somebody that can spot up and score. Jalen Brunson's one of the most ball dominant. Everybody talks about Trae Young. I mean, Jalen Brunson is a dominant ball guy too.
So we got another trade here. It looks like the Knicks traded the 24th pick to the Wizards for the number 26th pick. I don't know why, but and the number 50 and the number 51 pick.
Maybe they're getting a player.
So yeah, they don't know who they want. So the Wizards are picking here, and then the Knicks are getting the 25th and the 26th pick now.
Okay, so that's interesting.
Well, yeah, they're gonna have to load up on draft picks, the Knicks, because they're gonna have the score that they're gonna pay a lot of money for, and they're not gonna be able to get rookies the next couple years. So they're gonna have to load up on some of these rookie contracts to help the New York Nova kind of squad there.
The Nova Knicks, yeah.
The Nova Knicks.
So it looks like this pick's going to go to the Wizards.
Okay.
But it looks like they picked somebody. Let's see.
Yeah, Keshawn George.
Keshawn George. From Miami, yep. Yeah, small 4'6", 7" out of Miami. Not a bad pick. Not a bad pick. I don't know if he's playing in front of Pool or anybody, but we'll see.
Did I have the Wizards or you had them, Eddie? I think you did, right?
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
and you know, I only had them for like having the second pick. So it was either going to be Alex Sarr or Zachary Risarche, whatever, however you say his last name. But yeah,
you didn't have. They had a 26 pick though. That wasn't on your. Maybe it wasn't on there when we did the preview.
No. Let me see. Maybe let me see. Did I have one? Oh yeah, I did. I did have him. Yeah. So I have him. So I had Tyler Kolek. So I said that they need, you know, another more shooting, especially at the guard position. And that's why I thought maybe like a Tyler Kolek would be a good fit for him. So that's who I had as the pick for him.
George made 56 three-pointers in Miami last year. So looks like they're going to try to use him as a spot-up scorer. Washington had the worst defense in the league last year. So I don't know how this is necessarily going to help. But, you know, Washington, once again, not a great organization. It just goes to me, it's going to be something that adds to Russell Westbrook's legacy because he took Washington to the play-in, and I think the playoffs, maybe they just made it to the play-in. And that's like their only bit of success they've had this century.
Right.
So,
which is why I think both John Wall and Beal are so overrated, you know, as a backcourt. They did nothing over there.
No, nothing at all.
John Wall's out of league. Is he still playing?
He was hurt. He might be forced retirement. I haven't heard from him, so I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, if I was Denver, go ahead.
No, I was going to say Bradley Beal's on that same path. I mean, like, he's getting injured all the time now, too. So,
John Wall was last on Houston, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I think, if he's anywhere, he's in Houston, I think. Yeah.
If I was Denver, I would go look at John Wall at a veteran minimal, see if he can come off on the second union or something. But other than that, I don't know if he's gonna get another contract except for veteran minimum, you know?
Yeah.
That's a good idea. Denver could use a backup and why not take a swing and a miss? Yeah, if you wanted, depending on which apron they're at, but I'm sure it'd be the 5.9.
Yeah.
Not the 15 or 12 or whatever, not the higher one.
Yeah. Let's see some Mikel, but no, there's the picks. Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, so the picks. So right now we're saying Washington has the 24th pick right now, and then the Knicks have the 25 and 26. I'm saying I'm going to go ahead with my prediction. I'm going to say it's Tyler Kolek. There's also Ryan Dunn who's out there who hasn't been picked, and we also have John Furphy who also hasn't been picked. And these are guys that we thought would be picked right around that 24 to 25 range.
Correct.
So I'm just going by the roster need, so I'm saying Tyler Kolek.
And the Knicks may be trying to trade that 26th pick to get –
so more draft picks.
Yeah.
Because they just fleeced. They got fleeced, man.
Yes, seriously. They did.
Shoot.
They're in win-now mode. I think they got to take a look at Kyle Flipowski if they don't trade back again.
Yeah, I agree.
That's got to be one of their picks.
For sure. I mean, for sure. Would Washington take Kyle Flipowski?
All right, so I got a newbie moment. What's the W's? Wing?
Wing, yeah. I think they're calling that a wing player. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I've never seen that.
Yeah, they got W's now. They got F for forward, you know, they got point guard, all that, centers, but then they got W's. So.
Interesting.
That to me is just a forward, right? So
that's new. Yeah. I mean, but he also put a shooting guard as a wing, too.
Yeah. It's got to be the two or the three. You know, that's just.
Yeah, two, three. So I guess that's probably the way that 2-3 or 3-4 is a wing. So,
yeah.
Maybe just bigger wing and smaller wing. I don't know. It's going to be the same thing as small and power forward. But anyway.
Yeah. And here's just like, you know, the Knicks, they're paying out money now. They're doing so. If they're wrong, there goes the cap. You can't do much to get out of it. It's going to be tough.
They're taking a long time with this pick. I think they're looking to trade back again.
I think you're right, Iggy. They're looking at making another trade to get some of those picks that they lost back some way, somehow, in the next 4 or 5 years, man. That's crazy. That's crazy. I've never seen that. I mean, there's like, 6-7 picks for one guy? That's crazy. And for Mikal Bridges at that.
Yeah, not like Giannis. All-star.
Yeah, not like a Giannis or, you know, Jokic or, you know.
Not even a Kawhi, you know. Like,
exactly.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, some of these guys are going, man, I should be worth more than that. Like a Paul George is kind of going, wait, well, I'm going to reset this market, damn it. I mean, Mikal Bridges is a good player, though.
He is, but, Clay's walking around, WTF, WTF.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if they do win it, though, I mean, it's going to be one of the most stories. I mean, it's already the Knicks, you know. Like my friend, you know, he's been in – you guys might know Scott Engel, been in New York so long. And he's like, if, you know, the Yankees, the Mets, it can go either way. The Giants, you know, they're popular only because the Jets have been really bad. If the Jets are ever good, he's like, the city would flip. But he's like, when it comes to the Knicks or the Nets, it's the Knicks always. And the Knicks haven't won in, you know, almost 40 years or whatever.
I don't know how long
it's been. It's, you know, and they got a grip on that city. So if the Nova Knicks can, if they can make that whole story happen, it would be one of the championships of all time, I think. So
a lot of
potential there.
We had the Knicks are unique in the sense that, you know, we had an episode talking about big market, small market kind of teams, and you know, the conversation we had was around the Lakers and Boston. They're big markets. Well, obviously LA is LA, but they're big markets because of the amount of championships they've won, right? They've got 17, 18 banners, you know. And so the Knicks are unique in the sense that they're just a large market because they're New York Knicks.
Right.
They're like, you know, because other teams, you know, they go up and down. I mean, the Warriors are on the up now, and then they'll go down again. And, you know, so they're really a market decided by how successful they are, you know. But the Knicks, they've been pretty bad for a long time, and they're still a fairly large market.
That's a good point.
Here we go. Knicks coming. So the pick is coming in here. Pacome Dadiet from France, another Frenchman.
Oh yeah, that's I thought he was kind of like going around 30th.
Correct.
Yep.
So 6'7" forward. Numbers are a little light again. 6.6 points. He had a 35.8 3-point percentage, 2.3 rebounds, half a steal. Shooter off the dribble, moves off the ball, primarily a shooter.
That makes four guys in the top, you know, 26 picks out of France.
Yep.
Top 25 picks out of France. That's crazy, man. France is pumping out some players, man. And there's another guy that hasn't been picked yet, Melvin Anginsa. He's another guy from France. So they could have five people here in the first round.
But this is the first guy who's light on defense, which is kind of surprising considering he's going to Thibodeau.
Right.
He'll make a defender out of it. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. You know, we'll make a defender out of you or you'll be hurt in the process. One or the other.
That guy, I mean, his rotations are just way too short, man, especially in the playoffs. I mean, everybody likes to go, like, short in playoffs, but, man, just the way he didn't even, like, Josh Hart played, like, I don't know how many games straight without no rest. I'm surprised that guy didn't get hurt, right? But, you know, they need more depth, that team, to have Thibodeau, be able to utilize, you know, the full team, because he's just going to run those guys ragged, man. You know, he already has done that. We got, you know, what happened to Derrick Rose, same thing.
Yep. Yep. Exactly.
Jimmy Butler, same thing, you know. But, you know, he has the issues right now in his, as he's gotten older. Looks like we've got.
Well, I'll put the Wizards up because the trade hasn't been made official yet, or at least I can't see it being made official. But from what I understand, this is a pick for the Knicks. Oh, here we go. Yeah. Thoughts on Kenny Atkinson agreeing to a 5-year deal? Well, that Kenny's another coach, right? That's kind of got shooed away prematurely. You know, we were talking about Monty Williams earlier. I think he's a good coach. I think, you know. I think he'll do well.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, he actually was going to be a head coach, I think like maybe a year ago, even before that. I forgot which team was trying to pry him away from the Warriors, but he decided to stay with the Warriors. It was going to be like a rebuild team, and I forgot who it was. But Kenny Atkinson is a well-known commodity as far as coaching in the NBA. He did a good job with the Brooklyn Nets, you know, and, you know, he's going to do all right, man. I think, Cavaliers, you know, it's a good fit for him. And we'll see from there. Yeah.
Now, if we can just talk him into giving us Jared Allen, I'll be a happy camper.
Right. Dude, just got to get Linda's just on fire. That's a lot of meat, Eddie. You were packing, Eddie.
Where's the beef?
I know. I lost a lot of the beef a long time ago. All right.
All right, 275, Eddie, walking around.
Yeah. I'm now at least 220. 225, 230 now. But anyway, it says you two are studs in all things Warriors. Should the Warriors trade for Paul George or not?
Yeah.
I'm going to say no.
Yeah.
I think they need more than just Paul George. Well, Paul George is maybe just a slight upgrade from, you know, Andrew Wiggins, in my opinion, just for everything that he does. Yeah. But I think they need like a Jared Allen, Twan, is what you said. That'd be a bigger splash.
Well, my dream was somehow we could turn Andrew Wiggins, Chris Paul, and, you know, Moses Moody, let's say. If we can turn them into Jared Allen and Dorian Finney-Smith, I would have been a happy, happy camper. That's what I was rooting for.
That's
a
lot for Dorian Finney-Smith, though, bro.
Well, I mean, what I'm assuming is Jared Allen's going to take the bulk of that.
Yeah.
What I'm offering, right, is really
yeah.
because, I mean, you're not getting Jared Allen for Wiggins straight up. I mean, that's just not happening. So, you know, Moody for Finney-Smith maybe, and then, you know, Chris Paul. But again, we'd have to sign Chris Paul. I mean, it's complicated, but if we could, you know, if we could turn that into that, I would have been a happy camper, much more so than getting Paul George.
All right, so we got finally –
Yeah, we got the Wizards here again, which I believe, you know, when I saw this is a Knicks pick. So
Yep.
I think this is a Knicks pick. Yeah.
I'll refresh my stream here.
Oh, to
make sure nothing else got added.
Yeah.
I tell you, like in two picks, if Collier's there, I do not know how the Suns pass up on him. I mean.
Right. They need a true point guard.
They need a real deal point guard, and you can maybe force Bill to the two, Booker to the three, I guess, Durant at the four, and you've still got Nurkic at the five. They're just in a bad situation. I think the owner got a little too zealous.
I gotta give it though that Devin Booker did evolve his game more. You know, I think Chris Paul definitely showed him the ropes to be better as a distributor. You know, he's not a point guard. He's really a shooting guard, scoring guard, really. His defense has gotten a lot better. You know, Devin Booker's defense has gotten better. But they, in order for that team to really thrive, they need a pass distributing point guard type. And Isaiah Collier, I think, is the right pick here. Iggy, I think you're right. Let's see if the GMs are on the same wavelength as us.
Yeah, we'll have to see. I mean, I'm trying to skip right over Minnesota, but
they're
going to do something to get better here. That's for sure.
For sure. Are they talking trades right now, Twan? Are there trades going down? Because, man.
I don't see anything right now, but here comes the pick.
Here comes the pick.
Like I said, I'm a little behind y'all, so I'm glad. I'd just be surprised if they don't take the kid from Duke here. But, you know.
They took Jalen Jones out of Weber State.
Dylan Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the guy that compares to Josh Hart. They say he's kind of like a do-it-all type of guy. Kind of a bulkier type of specimen.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Yeah, I don't really have much on him on my board. Dylan Jones, Weber State, junior, 6'6", 219. So.
Yep.
Good size.
No, 237, excuse me. Yeah, he is a bulkier guy.
Yeah.
Well, they might need that.
Bully ball, they label him as a bully ball point guard, which is perfect for Thibodeau.
Hey, Twan.
Yeah.
Look at the private chat to verify something, because, you know, I only have the one screen, but if you can just double check what is being indicated there.
I believe so. I don't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, they're asking to double check the.
Yeah, talking about exactly.
But I'm looking. It's looking that way. You're right. It hasn't been announced yet. So I agree. So for those of you, let's just presume that those players are staying with. There was no trade, but everywhere I'm reading is the trade's been done. It's been made.
Okay. All right. So here's a question: is Bronny James gonna get drafted?
Yes. Oh, he'll get drafted by the Lakers. And in my opinion, it'll be a mistake. I mean,
what do you say?
I,
what do you say?
I don't know who's going to draft him, but I do think somebody will draft him. You can see him right there as a young little boy. I think there's just a lot of expectations. The way I think the Lakers draft him is if they can trade back. If they can trade back and, you know, get out of their current position in the second round, I think they may take a chance on him. You know, let LeBron have this moment, so to speak. But I think he would still have to be a two-way player. I don't know that he would be on the 13, like, full-time.
Yeah. I'm looking at this, you know, just if he wasn't LeBron James, I don't think he'd be drafted. He'd be a
– Yeah.
You know, he'd be someone that got looked at maybe after the draft, but I think he'd remain undrafted.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, he's hyped up big time, you know, because of his dad. And, you know, based on what I've seen, even in some of his college games, the guys that should be going to the NBA, they stand out. You can see it. The eye test doesn't fail you, right? You can see it. And to me, he didn't have that, in my opinion, from what I saw. Now, supposedly he had a decent combine, but, you know, I didn't see any of the combine footage, so I don't know. But from what I've seen at USC games, to me, he didn't stand out. Collier stood out. Isaiah Collier stood out on that team.
And he's still available, right?
He's still available, yeah.
Yeah.
In all honesty, he could go right here to Minnesota. Him or Tyler Colic. I mean, Mike Conley's great and all, but they need some younger guys there. You know, we talked about Zach Randolph. He's going back to those days before he was last good.
Right, exactly. But yeah, I had the Minnesota in my pre-draft coverage, and I actually had that another young starting point guard as their need. And then another scoring threat to take off the load of Anthony Edwards. So I had Tyler Kolek, as you astutely pointed out there, Iggy, as one of their targets. And I didn't think that Isaiah Collier would slip. So that it's one of those two. Jared McCain was another one, but he's gone. So Tyler Kolek or Isaiah Collier. You know,
Minnesota just traded for Dillingham too, right? So.
Oh, that's right.
That
changes everything. So now, do they need another big? Filipowski? No,
And who's drafted? Who is this pick going to then?
Let me see if I can find the details.
Is it still Minnesota? Is it still San Antonio?
I still think it's Minnesota because it's not. Yeah. Let me see here. I'll tell you. Let me find the.
Because that would have been San Antonio's pick, right? So, they wouldn't grab that guy.
So, the trade details are – come on, let's go. What are the trade? Come on. Where are you? I just had it and it went away.
Yeah.
San Antonio gets the 2031 first-round pick and a 2030 pick swap. So, not this draft. So Minnesota's picking for themselves.
And okay. So they got Rob Dillingham. Yeah, they're gonna be upgrading what Minnesota
big time.
Ahead.
Big time.
That's a nice backcourt right there.
Yeah, I mean, so right now their backcourt is Conley, Dillingham, McLaughlin, and Monty Morris. So that means one of those other two backups are more than likely gonna be gone. And he might go ahead and draft maybe another combo guard here potentially, because you know as I identified, they need another scoring threat. I don't know if you're going to get a scoring threat at this position, but there's upside with the potential Tyler Kolek being a pretty decent shooter in the NBA, but he is 6'3", isn't the most athletic guy. It probably isn't going to be a defensive type of a guy in the NBA anyway, but,
all right.
You know, there's a lot of guys like that in the NBA, so.
Here we go. Terrence Shannon Jr., wing.
Illinois, yeah, floor 6'6", 6'6", 219, right up their alley. That's what they want. That's how they draft. That's how they build their team. Mike Conley, if he comes off the court, they're not going to have a guy on the court under 6'4". What's Anthony Edwards? He's going to be the shortest guy on the team. Anthony Edwards, 6'4".
Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
Guy's a defensive monster, too.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. All right.
We'll
there
see.
You go. Yeah. A strong team's getting stronger.
Yeah. So okay. So let's talk about next season. So do you see the same Final Four happen in both the East and the West? So
No, I didn't.
You don't see it. Okay. So, but you see the Celtics being the team to beat, though, in general.
I don't know if I believe that either. I mean, they were really healthy this year. Right. They may have to look at their roster. I think for the most part, their roster is intact. I think they had a very, very lucky Eastern Conference run, and we get to see somebody go back-to-back in this decade. I mean, 21, 22, 24, we've had different teams all the way around. It's the most competitive era of the NBA ever that we're watching right now. So I expect there to be different teams in the finals than there were for both teams. Now, they could both make it to the finals, Dallas, Minnesota, Boston, and Indiana, right?
Indiana.
Yeah, I think they could all make it back to the conference finals, but I don't expect either Dallas or Boston to be back in the finals.
And I'm a little curious what Minnesota does with Rudy Gobert, because he was taken advantage of with Dallas, right, on kind of getting him out into the perimeter. It's something teams have done for a while. So, that's a weakness there, right? And he's an expensive person. So I'm curious what they do with Gobert. And obviously Towns, I believe, is a potential free agent. So they got to figure out what they're going to do with him too. So, they may need another big.
Yeah, I mean, they're dropped in size still. So we'll see. I mean, Minnesota, man, they're going to be so good. I mean, now the Northwest Division is just so good. OKC, Minnesota, Denver. I mean, it's tough, man. It's a tough division.
All so right, your Nuggets pick is coming in right now there, Iggy.
All right. So who do you say, Iggy? Who do you had probably some guys on your list.
I mean, with them taking, this is Deron Holmes, right? So this is going to be Phoenix's pick, correct?
Oh, okay.
I believe so. I'm still thinking Ryan Dunn's got to come off here soon. I think Collier's got to come off soon.
That's the name that was just called, Ryan Dunn.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, we're getting on time, guys. Great work over here at the buzzer beater.
You're right. I think that was a swap, the 22nd for the 28th for Deron Holmes. So that still hasn't been made public, though.
I mean, if he's going to Phoenix like they're projecting into, I mean, Eric Gordon, I mean, this is an upgrade, I think, already. Just with offensive firepower that Dunn brings compared to Gordon, there's more of a defensive mindset at forward. They needed more points. They couldn't get past Minnesota. Not that a lot of teams could, but it showed their complete lack of being able to put up points against Minnesota. And it's a good pick for Phoenix.
No, I agree, man. I agree. So we have two more picks in this draft, or at least for today. So
correct.
We have the Raptors are on deck, and then the defending champs, Boston Celtics, after that. So
It's Utah right now.
Okay. My list is off, man. I'm looking at a different list, and it seems to be different than what I hear.
No, yeah, Utah via OKC. So
okay, it was a trade. Yep. So Utah's up right now.
Yep, Utah's up.
Man, let's see. If Boston gets Slokowski, I mean, it's just death to death over there. I mean, I don't know what Al Horford's going to do, but
he said he wants to play till 40. So Boston is one of those teams we didn't get around to, so I can start talking about them a little bit. So a little premature. So in terms of roster needs, like I mentioned earlier, the top players for the Celtics are locked through next year, through next season. They're top six, top seven. As we also discussed earlier, they're going to start hitting salary cap. I know that Jaylen Brown's contract starts kicking in next season, and then they got to talk to Tatum for the season after that. So they're going to be, there. Where they need to hit really in these drafts is for solid backups, players that can alleviate some of those, five, starting five and six. And also something that new, I read this morning and I didn't get a chance to fully go into it, but I guess Porzingis is going to miss the beginning of next season. So I don't know the extent of his availability. That's something that could impact, their route to a repeat. So there's something to look at. In terms of some trade targets, you know, I tried to keep it a little bit kind of on the low end because, you know, that's all they really could afford. I had Isaiah Jackson from the Indiana Pacers as a potential trade, maybe there, athletic big man. Torrey Craig from the Chicago Bulls, a defensive-minded three. That's someone they could look at. And Santi Aldama from the Memphis Grizzlies. You know, he's a defensive-minded 4-5, you know, depending on what happens with, as we mentioned, with Horford. In terms of their picks, so I had here Pacoma Dedgett, which is gone.
Yep, he's already gone.
And then we had Tyler Kolek, which is also gone.
No, Tyler Kolek is still there.
Oh, is Tyler Kolek still there? So we got the pick coming in for Utah right now. Sorry, I just paused to see.
Did you see that Utah has like 15 first-round picks? I mean, and they're going to be a force as well. That's crazy. Yep.
And they took Isaiah Collier.
Well, that makes sense. We were waiting for it.
Yep.
Yep. Surprised he lasted that long, honestly, man.
Yeah.
I don't know that he's going to come in and – because they just had a rookie that they got last year. I'm not blanking out on his name. But he was pretty great, actually. So I don't know. They really beefed up their backcourt. Collier, what's his size?
I'm about to put it up right now. He is 6'5", 210 pounds.
So, yeah, he's bringing
6'2".
Oh, he's 6'2"? I put it down 6'5", so. Oh, well, okay. I can change it.
Well, they beefed up their backcourt. You know, they're going to be dealing with Anthony Edwards, Jamal Murray, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and Scoot Henderson.
Lots to deal with.
Yeah, so they needed this move, you know, and they're going to keep bolstering it. I mean, they're going to be a good team in a couple of years, I think. Watch out for the Utah Jazz.
Yeah.
It depends on what they do with Lauri Markkanen. I mean, he's their best player. You know, they have John Collins. John Collins. They also have Jordan Clarkson, you know, the guy who once he gets the ball, you know it's not going anywhere else. Am I right or what? I mean, the guy's a black hole.
Right,
they call him Jordan Clarkson, black hole, right?
Yeah,
black hole.
That's why he volunteered to go back to the second unit because he wasn't touching the ball enough with the first unit, hence why he's able to always be in the Sixth Man of the Year content, you know, talks.
An interesting little trivia question there, Tuan. Did you know that Jordan Clarkson is part Filipino?
I did know that. I may have forgotten it, but I knew. I knew a little bit.
And the reason I bring that up there, Iggy, is because Tuan's wife is Filipino. So,
okay. Yes.
Yeah, that's why I brought it up. So I didn't know that. I just found that out. So so I think you might be the first Filipino player in the NBA.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. Yeah, shout out my college roommate, Filipino. So
there
a lot of athletic and talented Filipinos in the world. And Filipinos.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes, and don't get into any karaoke challenges with them because you will lose. You will lose.
Absolutely. And,
so going back to the Celtics.
The Celtics,
Talking on their top two draft picks. You know what was interesting? I didn't know this. But, you know, immediately when you think of the Lakers, at least for me, I think of Bill Russell. But Bill Russell wasn't drafted by the Celtics. Bill Russell wasn't drafted by the Celtics. He was drafted by the St. Louis Hawks, which was.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Which turned into the Atlanta, right?
Atlanta Hawks, yeah.
Atlanta Hawks, yeah, sorry. And so I didn't know that. So just a little fun fact. So, you know, in terms of notables for the Celtics, you know, Sam Jones, KC Jones, Kevin McHale, Paul Pierce, you know, all multiple NBA champions. Maybe not Paul Pierce, but the other ones for sure. And, of course, their top two, well, Larry Bird, right?
For sure.
Three-time NBA champion, two times an NBA Finals MVP, so on and so forth. And the other one is John Havlicek. Hondo is the other player. And so for their busts, I'm going to talk about this first guy because he is the very first number one draft pick in NBA draft history. And he was sort of a bust. So he's the 1950 first pick, right? So in 1950, Chuck Scheer. He never played a minute for the Celtics. He signed with the Waterloo Hawks of the National Professional Basketball League, and the whole league went under the following season.
No way.
That is Boston's very first. That is the NBA's very first pick.
Oh my God!
Yeah, so that's I thought that was kind of cool. Yeah,
that is cool.
Yeah, and then the other one was a guy named Jerome Moiseau from the 2000 draft. He was the 11th pick. He was a French prospect. Speaking of French, apropos, right? There's been a lot of French picks. 6'10". But pretty much didn't show much promise for, he was at UCLA. Shout out to all you UCLA guys out there. I know you're like, he's one of us. But Boston right. thought they could work with his raw athleticism and didn't work out. He struggled to play, scored a total of 35 points in 134 minutes. So never really played for Rick Pitino at the time. Didn't really do much, in terms of could have had for that particular draft. Class, not a lot of options, but Jamal McGlure, Hedo Turkoglu, and Michael Redd. Those were players that they could have had instead of the Frenchman there, Jerome. So that's my tidbit there for the Boston Celtics.
Right on, man. Well, this is the final pick here.
This is the final pick
of the first Diggy. Round. So.
Thank you, man. It was a pleasure having you on. We appreciate
for sure.
the knowledge.
And we're going to be back here again tomorrow, Iggy, if you're interested in joining us again. So we're back at it for the second round tomorrow, starting at the same time. And you're welcome to join us if you have the time. If not, we understand. We just sprung this on you. So
your call.
I'll probably be in the comments if I can check in. I do have to work tomorrow evening, so we'll see how it goes. But I don't think I can join live. But it's been a pleasure being there and covering the draft with you guys. Anthony and Eddie, I really appreciate having me on the Buzzer Beaters, and shout out to William for setting it up for me. And it's been a lot of great. I hope to cover the NBA next year for Fantasy Alarm or somewhere else. And I love the NBA with the passion. I'll be in my 10th year playing fantasy, so I'm looking to celebrate that as well.
Nice,
right on,
very nice,
right on, man. So who are we saying is going to be picked here?
For Boston, who did I have?
You had Tyler Kolek as one of your guys.
Yep. I had, Tyler Kolek would have been the pick.
Filipowski, so the pick is in. So we are going to find out here.
I'm going to say Filipowski because, they don't have Xavier Tillman.
Baylor, I can't. Shireman.
Creighton. Oh, wow. We were just talking about him.
We got the shooter, man.
So they went and got the bona fide D1. Yeah, they got the guy that knows ball through and through.
He's a 5-year player. So yeah, I mean that's a state. Leave it up to the former Butler head coach and also former Celtics coach to be able to make this pick. And Brad Stevens is the guy that I was thinking of the name. So Brad Stevens is shrewd, man. He knows what he's doing. I mean, he built that championship team. Yep. And, they're trying to go for it again. So, dude, again, Iggy, we really appreciate your time. And for the audience, we really appreciate your comments, especially Linda. Thanks for all your comments.
Yeah, Linda, go to bed. It's late. Wherever you're at,
you're on fire. You are on fire. So, but actually, we got another comment here. It says, from Gremlins Meet, it says, Karl Malone's wife is Filipino too. End of age. Oh, no. Who just wrote that comment,
that's
man?
Just...
that was just wrong, man. Anyway, all right. So on that, we're just going to go ahead and close it out. This is Buzzer Beaters. You can find us on gremlinsmedia.com, Rumble, YouTube, under the profile Gremlins Media, as well as your traditional podcast outlets such as Spotify, Google, Apple, and Pandora. You can also find us on Facebook and X, formerly known as Twitter. We're going to go ahead and see you again tomorrow at the same time for the second round at 5:00 for tomorrow's show. Please bring the comments. We really appreciate it. And again, Iggy, really appreciate your time. This is Eddie Aparicio for Tuan Corral. We're signing off and good night.
Thank you.